This is episode number 73 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of April 20th, 2009. It's time for me to rock. Coming up on today's show, this week's distractions, gaming news. After the break, we talk about what it takes for a game to have legs. Follow that up with new releases, listener email, and the musical question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 73.
Hey, yeah. Thanks, Chris.
I'm gonna stick that shit right in there while I have the chance. Damn.
Jeff and I have been having an off-topic night.
Yes, to say the least.
All right. Anyway, introduce the
Jason
show, Chris.
A Striker and his strong drink.
Yes, extremely strong. It was the last of the bottle, and you don't want a weak drink afterwards, so you just pour the rest of it in, and there was a lot. Wow.
Exactly.
Okay. And Jeff Chorney and his beer, I think.
Yeah. Yes, I am drinking the beer tonight. And I didn't start well before the recording, like last week. It wasn't even well. It was maybe like an hour.
That was all you needed,
apparently. It did the job.
Because yeah. You were... pretty toasty. Yeah, that podcast was a lot of fun to listen to again.
Hell yeah. It was fun to record, too.
I heard everyone talk about it. I'm like, okay, I got to listen. And like literally about, it wasn't too bad at the beginning, but roughly around like the beginning of the future, I was like, wow. Like,
that's like, our boy. Okay. That's our boy.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, we are...
Next one will be reserved for the live show.
We are on episode number 73 now. We're going to be... later, we're going to be talking about how to... to make a game with legs, but before we get into that,
Darwinism.
Jason,
yeah,
why not arms? Hi.
How are you and your strong drink?
I'm doing great, actually. A very a Street Fighter centric lifestyle as of late.
Really?
Because that's new.
As of I don't know, late February.
Yeah, give or take. Or so it's amazing. I was just thinking about it outside. I'm like, okay, all of my like outside projects right now have to do with Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. And like all my free time, Street Fighter. Because I was thinking about, you know, what I was going to talk about is like what you've been doing. And I'm like, I've been doing Street Fighter tournaments and Street Fighter projects. So that's my life.
But I know for a fact you've been playing something besides Street Fighter. But we'll get into that later.
Okay, yeah, we will. But I've been hitting up tournaments and stuff, doing pretty well locally here. I hit up a local tournament, took second. That was pretty good.
Nice. I didn't know about
you
that.
Didn't tell me that, dude. What the hell?
And another one, the week afterwards, that one was pretty cool because it was a local tournament first, and I placed first in that. I swept all of my matches, and then you do like an online.
Was it a Toys
portion.
R Us or something with a bunch of 8-year-olds?
You're fucking hilarious. I mean, where's Tanya? She was a lot more fun to talk to. But
bring back the boobs.
This was actually organized by this outfit called ggcircuit.com, like Good Game Circuit. And they own a bunch of, they own a few different like gaming, like LAN centers across the U.S. Okay. Or mostly the East Coast. In any case, the online portion of the tournament was like a double elimination or whatever. But I swept all my matches till I got to the finals and the winners. And then horrible fucking lag kicked in, like seriously.
Oh,
like I would hit up and it would take like 2 seconds for it to register.
Oh my god, for real?
It was awful. And we spent a good like hour or so like connecting, reconnecting, trying to get this thing worked out. The guys at Computer Arena here in town actually think like shenanigans were going on, like, you know, they were using like a lag switch on the other end or something.
A lag switch? Nice.
For real, yeah. There's something that you can like connect to your controller that will like ping your router and like shut it down and like, you know, I don't know.
Really?
They explained it to me, but yeah, they think nefarious motives were in play, but...
But you still won that one, right?
No, I did not, actually. I lost horribly.
Oh, that's when he came second?
Yeah, the last two matches, because I hadn't lost up until, you know, the winners finals. And then I ended up with third place overall. Like, the last two guys that I played was Sagat, and, you know, all he did was spam high fireballs and roundhouse kicks.
Oh, God.
Nothing I could do. And the other guy, she was Zangief, and just did lariats. Which I'm fine against.
Oh, for real? And lariats are easy to fucking, like, you should be able to,
I can time that just fine, you know, at the ass end of the lariat, you know, and I was dash punch, I was playing Balrog throughout the entire thing, but, I mean, there's really nothing you can do, you know, and once he was done with, like, a lariat, you know, he would do, like, an EX green hand in, you know, which I was luckily able to block, but And afterwards, what you do is you just do like a neutral jump up to get out of the pile driver. But I mean, because of the lag, there was no way I could do it. So
that sucks.
There was literally, I didn't even take a round. So
wow.
But I ended up with third place overall. But
yeah, still not bad.
I'll be damned if I ever do another online tournament again. I did, actually. I brought my stick down there, and just in case, I brought, you know, the official, like, Mad Cats one or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
As it turned out, they did not let me use my custom stick, but that's because Computer Arena does not know what the fuck they're doing. Yeah. I showed him the insides. I'm like, there's no turbo going on, no nothing.
Yep,
And he's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But then he read the rules, and the rules stated that, like, no third-party controllers can be used. So he's like, I don't think you could use this.
Retarded.
It's a good thing I brought the backup. But so, yeah.
Is your Mad Cats one, did you outfit that one with Sanwa parts as well? Or
I did, yes.
Nice. I love that stick, man.
Good. That's been graced by Gutex and Mike Ross.
Yeah. I really like it.
They've fondled your stick.
But
you got used to it, though? How do you like the buttons?
I got used to it.
They're like touching like little magical clouds, aren't they?
Yeah, they're so sensitive. And I was trying to explain this to Scott from the Goo.
You don't
the other night we were playing. I was like, it's just so easy to link normal stuff like that. And they're so sensitive that I'll even do stuff I don't mean to do. Like, one thing Scott likes to do is, like, bait me into throwing a fireball when he's got Ultra. And if he's Chun-Li, if I'm, like, just outside of like full screen or inside of full screen, he can usually hit me with it. So I'll just kind of sit there and kind of use footwork dance back and forth, hoping he's going to kick it out there, thinking I'm going to throw a fireball. And sometimes I actually throw a fireball by accident just because my hands are lightly on the buttons. And then I'll be like, holy crap, I didn't even like mean to do that.
They're friggin' sensitive.
So sensitive.
They're beautiful. Yeah. They really are like little clouds. I'm like, yeah.
You guys talking about Street Fighter again? Shut the fuck up. There's other things out there.
Yeah.
We're not even into what we're playing yet.
So I've been playing some Street Fighter, and I'm trying to think of what else has been going on. Yeah, seriously, the Street Fighter 4 project.
Congrats on third in the thing. That's
tournaments.
Cool.
Yeah, I won some money off it. That was cool. So, you know, whatever.
Cool.
But, yeah.
See, kids, you can win money playing video games.
You could be a pro gamer. Yes. This is how you get into it.
I guess,
it's just, you know, dedicate your entire life
to a pro gamer
game.
Right now.
So.
Does that technically make you a professional gamer now, Jason? You won money off playing Street Fighter.
I guess so. Yeah.
So technically you would be, right?
Yeah. And I make like joysticks for kind of a living too. So I get money off of that.
There you go.
So Lisa appreciated the fancy dinner I took her out to from the last stick I made. So.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
Who was the last one you made for?
Spoiler.
Oh, right.
Spoiler.
That's right.
Did you guys see that?
That stick was awesome, dude.
Dude. Oh,
I was so jealous of that friggin' stick.
That was the Nintendo one, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And
whose idea was that? Was that his or yours?
Yeah, that was all his right there. So he came to me, he sent me a PM, and he was like, dude, I know you're busy. I really want this stick. And I'm like, I there's no fucking way I can right now. I'm so busy right now. He's like, all right, let me pitch you the idea. Anyway, he was talking about the NES stick, and I just got totally inspired. And I'm like, fuck, I got to see this happen. So, we tried and recreated an NES controller as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think it turned out great.
I think
it looks
awesome.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I surprised him with like a Sanwa stick, and because I was trying to talk him out of the Sanwa stuff because it's so hard to get any like, you know, Sanwa parts right now because everybody's
right
sold
now,
out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was able to score
Fever.
One for him, and it looks a hell of a lot better. But I was sad to see that one go because it plays really, really well. But I also posted it on SRK, the Show Ryukin forums, and some good feedback on it. People like it. So
cool.
Okay,
good stuff, man.
Street Fighter 4 crazy.
All right,
that's
Jeff.
My life.
That's your life,
Jeff. What does your life hold in store this week?
But besides Street Fighter, me and the girlfriend picked up. We adopted a kitty last weekend.
Oh,
little
kitten.
Yeah,
Kai, right?
Yeah, we did name it. Her name is Kai, and yes, it is named after the character from Heavenly Sword.
Does that mean that it's retarded?
Borderline, yes.
Okay.
But also really cute. So,
perfect.
Yeah. She climbs on everything and stuff like that, kind of like Kai did, and just kind of like really acrobatic. So,
nice.
We had a hard time naming it. We were like, okay, what are we going to name the cat? We had a couple good, like, originally she always wanted a pet named Rufio. named after the character from Rufio.
From like Peter Pan or Pan.
From Peter
whatever.
Pan. It's also named after one of the bands she likes. If you guys ever heard of Rufio the band.
I have actually. Yeah.
Scott kind of
okay.
Right, yeah. Cool. So originally, because it was a girl, we're like, oh, we can't call it a girl. Then one of my friends said, call it General Meow, which I thought was hilarious.
General
Meow, yeah. And then we figured, yeah, this is not really going to stick. So for about 3 days, we didn't have a name for the cat. Then finally, Tony emailed me one day. She's like, how about Kai? I'm like, that is money. That is awesome. That is, it suits her personality. And it's a girl name. And yeah, it's
there we go.
Original. So
I'm trying to remember what my suggestion was.
What your suggestion was?
Yeah. I think Radia. That was my suggestion.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Did you sell that to Tanya?
Yeah.
It's not General Meow.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not.
But, yeah, she thinks I'm her own personal plaything. She likes to climb on me and pounce anytime she gets. So we're trying to teach her not to do that. As cute as it is, it hurts like hell when she's digging her nails in her back. And she's like, I'll be sitting there turning around a corner and she'll be on the couch and top of the couch, she'll like lunge at my face.
Nice.
Like, ah, it's funny, but let me pick up my eye. Hold on a second. And no. So, yeah, she's cute though.
Congrats. You guys are parents now. That's, oh man. Yeah. First you bought the big screen
TV. That's your first big step. Yeah.
And you got the iPhones and now it's a cat.
Next
yeah,
thing you
well,
know, you're
the deal is though,
kids.
Like, if we were to break up, which we won't, but you know, knock on wood, I get the TV, she gets the cat. So I think that's a pretty good fair trade-off.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
You're not going to get married during MGC next year, are you?
No, definitely not.
Because
you know, we'll probably
one,
pick
so.
Some... if we ever do get married and we pick some weird date, I bet you that date will be happen to be where MGC gets moved.
Like, they'll that's change right. their date to, like, August.
It'll be know? The Indus luck, exactly. But, yeah, other than that, keeping busy with the kitten and stuff like that, that's... That's pretty much it, really. That's cool. All that's new.
Cool.
What about you, Chris?
Nothing new. I'm boring. I've just been, you know, work's been really busy, and that's pretty much it. Been trying to get as much gaming as I can. And, yeah, that's it.
Cool.
Got well, trying right. to get the house cleaned up before the sours come in next week.
Yeah,
oh,
no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here, yo.
They're coming in on a week from today. They're coming in next Thursday.
Oh my God! That's
so
we're
trying to get the house cleaned up. It's not working real well right now.
Let's do it the day before.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
If you just clean it up now, it's going to get messy by like Tuesday.
Especially with my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My dogs are shedding like mad right now. There's hair everywhere. It's like I just vacuumed 2 days ago. What's going on? All right. Cool. Well. Let's. Jason, we have a little announcement that we should throw out there before we jump in. I think.
Oh, this is exciting. Cool, announce something.
We are now a little bit more official.
What? For real?
What?
Yeah, a little bit more official. Everyone knows that we're doing Scrub Sport. It's in full swing now.
Yes.
We are on our third week. Most people have gotten their matches in. Well, now we have officially tagged scrubsport.com. So all of you guys that can't remember the site for Scrub Sport, it is now scrubsport.com, and you can go there, and the forum is there, and you can sign up and see how everybody's doing, get strategies on Street Fighter 4, that kind of thing.
Oh, my God. I'm getting misty that you're talking about Street Fighter.
should we make the other announcement now, or should we wait a bit?
Fuck it. Go for it.
Do it now. I don't even know what you're talking about, but go for it. Who cares?
Are we going to do it? Yeah. Okay, also, for people who are in Scrub Sport or anyone who is actually interested in Scrub Sport, learning what it's about, how it came to be, keeping up to date on, you know, anticipated matches, matches that went ways that we didn't expect, crazy upsets, whatnot, Scott Sauer, Jason A. Striker, and myself are actually going to be putting out a likely bi-weekly podcast, the Scrub Sport official podcast, based on the league. So we're going to try to record our pilot episode this weekend, and hopefully it gets out there. And, if people enjoy it, we'll try to get it out there at least bi-weekly and just keep everyone up to date what's going on, maybe even go over, like, the week's matchup and stuff like that. So it's just another way to keep on top of it, see where things stand and how things are going. And we'll talk things like strategy and stuff like that and, well, what strategy we know and what, key matchups. Stuff like that. Who's been kicking ass? Who was kind of came out of nowhere? Who was supposed to be kicking ass? Who's not doing so well, or not even not doing so well, but like you know, we're gonna basically treat it like basically like this is a league like NBA, NHL, NFL. Basically, we're a sport. It's a sport now
Center.
Officially.
Oh my
That's
god!
That's right. We're Sports Center for Street Fighter.
Scrub Sports Center.
That's right.
We're gonna name it that.
That's what it's called, Scrub Sports Center.
Scrub Sports, Sports Center.
That's your name.
And we're gonna plan on giving out possible awards at the end of the season as well. Yeah. We'll have some serious ones and also some really funny ones too. Because get everyone involved and stuff like that. So. Should be fun.
Yeah. I mean, truth be told, this has been really interesting. There's been a lot of players that have just like really stepped up their game. Like, I don't think anyone was like expecting spoiler alert to like totally step up. Like,
not at all.
I mean, I'm talking to you guys offline and you're both like, fuck, I don't want to fight spoiler.
I'm afraid of Blanca,
damn
man.
Blanca.
But, I use Rufus and I use Abel, and neither of them has a really good game against Blanca in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm really worried about that. We were supposed to play last night. I was trying to get that together, and he apparently went online, and I just had a really shitty night last night. And, I came home, sat down on the couch with Crystal, watched TV for about half an hour, and then went to bed. I just was not having a good day, and I was not about to play Street Fighter. So him and I are going to get together over the weekend, and we'll get that match figured out.
I understand you're scared. That's fine.
Yeah, I am scared. That's fine.
So everyone out there who doesn't – sorry, go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, I mean, we had the closest match that you ever, ever, ever could possibly have, you know, and I haven't lost yet in the league, but he is the one that's brought me closest to a loss. And I'm like,
wow.
I was shitting myself. I was shaking afterwards. There's good material in this league, I think.
yeah,
I think we
fun.
Can have some content.
Cool.
And that also gives us the out to talk about Street Fighter as much as we want, and for the people that are sick of hearing Street Fighter, they just don't have to download the podcast, so hopefully you won't care for it anymore. So,
but we're also going to be bringing on people that are in the league.
Yes,
so we'll be having guests on via Skype or whatever, and we'll interview them, talk about their matches, talk about just fucking anything Street Fighter related. So,
yep,
we're kind of addicted. So let us
just a bit,
little bit.
Just
a bit.
This is our outlet. Let us have that for Christ's sake.
I'm going to warn everyone right now. I'm probably going to talk about this game quite a bit in our feature today. So we'll revisit it. I'm sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of games you have played, Jason was distracting you this week.
I forgot this is the video game podcast.
Yes, it is. It's not this. We're not doing Street Fighter yet, man.
What do you know? Okay. Playing a lot of Street Fighter 4. Still some Resident Evil 5 as well.
Cool.
Which has been the only game in the past, like, what, 2-3 months been like, Jason, come play me. And I'm like, okay.
Have you played co-op yet?
I have not actually played co-op, except for the one time that I plugged in a second controller so I could try and do the item duplication thing. But but that was just with myself, so I don't know if that really counts.
So you're playing with yourself.
No,
okay, cool.
It doesn't.
I got an invite to play co-op
to
today. And true. very true. I'm gearing up for it. I'm hoping next week sometime, because I am really, 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 really busy. So I can't really work on other people's schedules at all. Like, I'm most active like after midnight, but I mean, the game is still, I'm just going to reiterate, what I tried to say last week, and that the game is absolutely gorgeous. It's extremely atmospheric. The controls are shit and they're extremely frustrating. But the game is still a lot of
fun.
And from what I'm hearing, I'm talking to my friends, and we've got an email thread going. The co-op is, a huge addition to the series. So
I'm really considering buying it with some of my Best Buy reward zone points.
Do
now,
it.
So.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
We'll play.
I'm just going to rent it and play it all the way through with co-op. That's
cool.
My plan.
Also looking forward to like Fat Princess that just came out today. So I'm going to download that right after the show. Cannot wait to play that.
That does look fun.
Fat Princess actually came out? No, the beta started today.
The
beta started today. Okay.
Either way.
Let's make sure that's clear. The game is not out yet.
Sorry.
You
it's
did not
me,
hear
as far
it here
as
first.
But yeah, looking forward to that. I played a little bit of the... oh shit! Is it Outrun?
Yes, Outrun.
Oh shit! Yeah, Outrun
came
Online.
Xbox
Classic
Live.
Sega shit. Wow, like
I heard it's really
on Live or PSN.
I can't say that it's really good. I can't.
It is
classic Sega shit, and like it feels like I'm playing a game from like 10 years ago. For
now,
real.
Why is that not coming to PSN in North America?
I thought it did come to PSN.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
No, it's only coming out in Europe and, 360 only in North America.
Huh.
Which is just
because either Sega or Sony, whoever made that decision, is stupid.
Hmm.
There you go.
Yeah. I would say so.
I don't think it's that great. I'm shooting it down. I'm serious.
Stop ruining my dreams, Jason.
Whatever.
Is it based on which version? I haven't downloaded it yet. What version is it based on? It's based on the newest one that was in the arcade, which is basically like Outrun with updated graphics and stuff. And
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's what it kind of feels like. So I mean, Outrun has always been
racing against time.
Yes, exactly. And you know, if you lose against that time, your girlfriend bitches you out. You know.
And is she as slutty as she was in the original?
I didn't see her arm come over me.
Does her head go down for a bit? I don't know where she is.
I was looking for that, and I was hoping actually, but yeah, I didn't see that either.
We all do.
But no, the physics are non-existent. So
physics in Outrun, what?
Yeah.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah. I don't know how to really rate this game. Like, I've enjoyed other Outruns, you know, in the past, like 10 years ago or whatever. But, you know, it still feels kind of like the same game. So I think I've played better driving games since then. So.
Let's put it this way. Are you going to play it again?
No. I downloaded the demo and tried it out. And, you know, I went through one race and I don't know. No, I'm bored.
So, full-time job distraction or whatever?
No. This is a very minor distraction. So not a night job at all. But yeah, I mean, I played it, and I give credit to all the old Sega nostalgia, like a lot of the old sound effects, and you know, especially the soundtrack is like classic Sega shit. So, and I was kind of grinning at that. I'm like, that's cool. I love Sega. Yeah.
Somewhere Mark is jumping up and down.
Yeah.
We're going to get an email next week from Savercade.
But after that kind of wore off, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm good. Not going to buy it, even for $10.
Cool. So.
Yeah.
I'll download the trial tonight.
Yeah, give it a shot. I mean, you never know.
I liked Outrun. Outrun's cool.
I did too. I'll give it a shot.
That's about all I've played. Yeah, the Resident Evil, the Street Fighter, the Outrun that I tried out today, so. That's about it. I keep trying to play Champions Online, which I'm in the beta for, and for the past couple of weeks I've been trying to get in there, but unfortunately they only run the beta from Wednesday nights and Friday nights, and I'm also under NDA, so I can't say too much about it just yet. But
right.
But I'm very happy I'm in the beta. Let's say that.
Cool. All right, Jeff.
Not too much again. Like I said, a lot of Street Fighter. It's a daily thing where it's like, I'm not going to play Street Fighter today. I'm going to play something else. And, okay, I'll play one match. I'll try to get this one combo down. And someone invites me, or I see someone online, and 2 o'clock in the morning shows up. But I did play a lot of Attack of Dark Athena, or Chronicles of Riddick.
Cool.
Again, I can't say Dark Athena. I'm not quite there yet. I'm still playing Butcher Bay. But I've hit the point in Butcher Bay where I think I realize now that the game was amazing for its time, but the AI is annoying as hell and just makes the game frustrating. At this point, I'm ready to just drop Butcher Bay and go right to Dark Athena and try that out. I'm going to give it a try this weekend, because you get to a point in the game where the first part of the game is very first-person shooter-oriented. Guns and stuff like that. You're going around shooting people and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Then you get to a point where you don't have guns. It's all like melee-based stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean like the mines. And you basically have to be stealthy. But the AI, if they see you from like anywhere, they know exactly where you are, and so does everyone else in that area, which drives me nuts. Because like since Butcher Bay, we've had like Chaos Theory and stuff like Killzone 2 and like Halo 3, which had good AI, whereas you could run away from the AI even though they know where you are, and you kind of outsmart them, they'll actually look for you. In this, they just kind of know where you are, which just basically, if you're seen and you don't have a decent melee weapon, you can't get close to the enemies, you might as well just restart last checkpoint, because you just gotta run at the guy and try to bash him over the head with a club or with your brass knuckles or your shiv. So I got past that part, and I got to a part where you get a tranquilizer gun, basically. It shocks the enemy, they drop down. And the part where I'm at is there's a bunch of different branching pathways, and you gotta get this door open to this hangar kind of thing. And there's so many enemies, and it's all trial and error on who to take down first, and what the guys, you have to watch what the guy's path's gonna do, what he's gonna do. Because if you screw up, then they all know where you are, and you're pretty much dead. And I remember now thinking back to when I first played the game, that this part of the game really frustrated me, and it drove me nuts. And I don't know if I have the patience now to try to go through that part again. So it's still a good game if you've never experienced it before, because if I didn't experience it before, I'd probably be motivated to get through this part and be like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take the time, but because I know what I'm in for, I'm like, okay, now I remember, I might just go right to Dark Athena. Because just when you're, yeah, this generation has got, the AI has gotten so much better. I mean, with Killzone and stuff, like, you can make noise, they'll look for you first before just turning and shooting, and if they do see you, you can run around a corner and kind of hide, and they'll come looking for you, whereas in this, they don't really do that. It's kind of annoying. It kind of takes you out of the,
God,
I guess, out of the element. Yeah, just, it's one of those game-breaking things that it shouldn't bug most people, but I don't know.
It bugs you.
It bugs me. Yeah.
I'm not pissed at the game. I'm pissed at you, because week after week, you're like totally hyped about a game, and then I put it like on my Gameplay queue, and then like, yeah, the next week, you're
and
like,
the next week, like, oh, it sucks.
But like I said, though, but Jason, you never played Butcher Bay, though, right?
No. Have not.
Yeah. If you've never played it, I think you'll still think it's awesome. Okay. But because I know what I'm up against and what I know what the frustration I went to the first time I played it, that's why I'm thinking, I don't know if I can want to sit down through and do this again, because I really just want to get to Dark Athena, because, I mean, that's the sequel or the expansion, whatever you want to call it, that I've never experienced. So everything in that's going to be new to some extent. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I got my fill of Butcher Bay. I've played the game already. I know what's coming up here. You know, don't need to play this, don't need to get frustrated. So people who, like I said, people who haven't played it, it's still freaking amazing. It's a really good game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think you guys will like it, because it's not a traditional first-person shooter, so you might dig it a little
bit better. Yeah, I played the first one a little bit, and I liked it quite a bit. I just never got around to playing it. So it's definitely something that has my interest right now.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And Jason, you're game flying it, so stop bitching.
But it takes like 2 weeks to get a Gamefly shit now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true. Fuck, well, we don't even have Gamefly, so fuck that.
Oh,
shit.
That sucks. You have igloos, though. Yeah. That's really
cool. That is true. That is true. So, yeah, other than Dark Athena, which right now, I'd still recommend it. It's still a lot of fun. It's just I get frustrated easily with repetitive stuff, and, you know, but other than that, that's pretty much it for me. Until, because really, we were in a bit of a drought, and until May, we really have not much new to play, really.
Yeah.
There's good stuff in May, though, but we'll get
to that. Oh, yes, there is. And I think you have something in the news about that, don't you?
Is there?
Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah. There's two big ones in May. But anyway, we'll move on to Chris. What have you been playing, man?
All right, so, you know, as usual, I've been playing Street Fighter, trying to get better, because I'm much behind, very, very much behind on practice compared to, like, you guys.
You got some tools to use against Blanca now, don't you?
I do have some tools against Blanca, but we'll see how they work out this weekend. We'll see.
We've been trying.
Well, you have spoiler. I have spoiler next week, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if he got close to beating Jason, you know, I'm a little scared.
Well, spoiler's my boy, so I'm actually going to sit down. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm actually going to train him against you guys now. So.
Can you do that after I
So you're going to sell out your own podcast mates to help someone else beat us.
Seriously. How long have we known each other, man? That's not cool.
Spoilers. He's a fun guy to hang around, I got to say.
Yeah.
He makes tournaments fun. You get to hang out with Spoiler. Just saying.
Yes.
Anyway, we talked quite a bit about Street Fighter, as usual. So, but yeah, I've been playing more Phantasy Star, which is normal. Something new this week that I picked up on Friday.
What?
Retro Game Challenge.
Hey.
Nice, you
finally picked it up. Mm-hmm. This game is fucking awesome. I repeat, you are so right. This game was fucking awesome, and I just breezed over it when I did new releases a long time ago, however long it came out, and it is awesome. I am having a fantastic time. This game actually got probably about equal playtime with Phantasy Star for me this week.
Whoa.
And that's saying a lot.
That is.
And it's,
what game are you on?
What's that?
What game are you on? How many games?
Right now
you
I'm on Guardia Crest, which
is that
which
the
means,
RPG?
Yeah, the RPG.
Okay.
So I'm getting pretty close to the end of the challenges. But you know, you start out there's 8 games to get challenges that you do challenges on. And you start out with a game called Cosmic Gate, which is very much like Galaga. And you know, you do like 3 or 4 challenges. You do 4 challenges in Cosmic Gate, and you move on to the next game, which is Robot Ninja Haggleman. And I don't know what this game is like. This game is just, it's not like anything I've ever played. But it's basically
Repeat
like
will tell you.
What's that?
Repeat will tell you. I remember asking him when he was here. I was like, "What is this game based off?" And he tried to explain to me that it's kind of based off some weird game.
Yeah, it's a Japanese only game, I think. But it's like it's a side-scrolling platformer where you can like jump on enemies and stuff like that. But then there's also doors, and you if you go through the doors and the doors hit the enemies, that stuns and kills them as well. So very weird game. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's actually pretty cool. And then you move on to Rally King, which is like an overhead rally racing game, and it's got like drifting and all this other stuff.
I'm gonna ask you. That's where I'm at right now. How the hell do you do the drifting?
Rally King?
Yeah.
That's like
the first challenge, and I'm like, I don't know how to freaking do it.
Let off the accelerator. If you let off the accelerator and then hit it again, you'll start drifting. Mm-hmm. Like when you go into a turn, let off the accelerator, and you'll start drifting. And then if you hit the accelerator again, you'll boost, and it'll give you that super boost of speed.
Oh, do you have to be going to certain speeds? I remember reading in like the cool like game fan magazines that come with it, where you read on tips and stuff like that to the games. That's just really cool with like real like game editors and stuff like that. But it was saying something like a top speed. You have to do this. So I'm sitting there trying to build up to get to the top speed, but the thing is, there's not a big enough straightaway to get to top speed without turning or hitting a puddle or something like that. So do you actually have to be going top speed, or can you just be going like medium speed?
You don't have to be going top speed. I mean, they do it in kilometers per hour, right? If you're going about 130, 150 kilometers per hour, you can probably pull off a drift. So
okay, cool.
But yeah, all you have to do is like it real quick, just let off the accelerator and hit it again, like while you're turning, and you'll start to drift. So it's actually pretty quick. The Rally King is the next one, and the first challenge is the one that he's talking about, where you do like this drift boost thing, and they have like this mechanic where you drift into a turn, and after you straighten it out, if you're holding the accelerator, you'll just boost like straight off in the direction you're going, which is kind of cool. But you get, you know, four challenges in each. The next one is Star Prince, which is like it's a shmup. And it's actually a really competent shmup with like this neat little mechanic where, you know, you got power ups like every other shmup, but, like if you hold down the fire button, you get this shield that forms around you. And if three bullets hit your shield, you'll get this like counter attack that pretty much shoots this 8-way, bomb attack that kills anything that's in the way. So, I mean, they've actually put a lot of thought into all of these games.
Yeah, and sounds like it. Cool.
They're really fucking cool. And then, so after Star Prince, you get Robot Ninja Haggleman 2, which is pretty much the same thing as the first one. And then you get Rally King Special Edition, which again is like the first one. But then you get this RPG called Guadia Quest, which is where I am right now. And this, I mean, again, they put a lot of thought into this game. You know, there's this like 10-15 hour RPG there.
Yeah, it's a full
if you actually play the whole thing through. Yeah, and the Guadia is actually part of the mechanic of the game. There are these things called Guadias that are around the land, and you can actually, like, when you get in a fight with them, you can choose to do pact, which, like, to make a pact with them. And if you do, they'll start to talk to you, and they say, "Can't believe you really think you can, you know, get me to help you and all this other crap. Do you really think you're worthy?" And apparently they basically get three times as strong, and then they come at you. And if you beat them, then they join you. I have not done this yet because they are fucking hard. I fought the first guy I ran into was a Guadia Gaia. So it was just like this earth elemental. And I did pact. And he starts talking all big and shit. And he's like, you know, "Do you really think you're worthy?" And all this other shit. One hit, boom, dead. I'm like, fuck. I mean, he just killed one of my guys in one
hit.
Did
you use your sleep spell?
No, I didn't use my sleep spell.
Did you actually have a sleep spell?
That would have put all the bears to sleep, and then you could get the canoe.
Yeah, and then you have to give him a potion. Then you can only hit him.
Oh, there you go.
Instead.
I'll throw a potion at him. It's like a zombie, right? You heal him, and you get hit points taken away.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the ghost train in Final Fantasy.
Keep going.
Anyway,
keep going.
So Guadia Quest is it's pretty cool. I'm on my third challenge in that one, and then the eighth game is apparently Robot Ninja Haggleman number 3, which is supposed to be completely
way
different from the other
than the first
one.
Two. It's like Leonard 6.
Well, it's no, they, they actually like it's like right. That's it's supposed to be like the original NES version of Ninja Gaiden.
Okay,
and something Jeff kind of touched on is that like while you're playing all these games, you know, and doing all these challenges, you know, you're with this other kid, and he's, you know, talking about the games that he's buying, and he talks about the magazines he buys, and you can go over and you can read these game fan magazines, And it's funny because I remember Game Fan magazine.
Yeah. Nick but Ross this isn't was Game like a hero back in the day.
Yeah,
but this isn't, it's like, they call it Game Fan magazine, but it's more like EGM.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because they have like the Tricks of the Trade and all this other stuff, and they have like...
Dan Shoe's in there, John Davis.
Yeah, but instead of calling him Dan Shoe, they call him Dan Sock.
But the pitcher...
So clever.
But the pitcher is him, though. They put like pictures of their...
Yeah, I think it is. I think the picture is actually Dan Shoe.
I remember listening to one up there saying that it actually is them, and apparently in... Retro Games Challenge 2, which hasn't been announced to come to North America yet. They have real media editors, like game journalists, like that, again, in the game, that they've got to get their picture in there and, you know, made a little parody of their name and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Gotcha. That's cool. That's cool. But yeah, I mean, they give you all these, like, little hits and tips for all the games. And they actually like give you old school codes to put into the games for like one of the ones that I used a lot was on Robot Ninja Haggleman 2. There's a code for unlimited time, and I hate dealing with the time on that game. So I just kind of you know, every time I got to a stage, I'd put in this little code, and you'd hear this like little signal go off that you put it in right, and then then the code goes off. It's really cool.
That might be a good feature. I said I miss cheat codes. You know, it's like, you know, get the 30 man or invincibility or they're fun.
That's a good one. I'm writing that down for later, Jeff.
Repeat was telling me that there's a funny one in there in the game for magazine. They keep hinting at a game that's supposed to be coming out. So it gets you thinking like, oh, it's probably the next game I'm going to play, but it keeps getting delayed and delayed and delayed.
That's Guardia Quest.
Guardia Quest? Okay, that's awesome.
It's like, no, they'll first start mentioning Guardia Quest when like you finish Rally King. It's like you'll get the Star Prince. And they're like, oh, new RPG coming out, Guardia Quest. It's going to be awesome. And then it gets delayed. And then the next man at magazine is like, oh, and this here's there more screenshots from Guardia Quest, but it's delayed again. And it just keeps getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And it finally comes out. So, yeah, that shit was funny, too. I was reading it, and I was like, you know, I understand the humor behind this, but could you please let me play this game?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. That's why I think it's so funny. It's like they're delaying the game within the game, which is brilliant.
this game is awesome, and I'm going to say anybody who likes old school, like if you have that feeling of nostalgia, if you want to play like nostalgic games, go buy this for the DS. It is absolutely awesome, and I definitely want to see the sequel come out. It is fucking awesome. Yeah.
And it's perfect for commuting. The challenges don't take too long. They're perfect pick up and play for like 5-10 minutes and then put back in your pocket.
And then after you finish all the challenges for each game, you can actually play that game in free play.
Fuck, I'm going to go get it right now.
Yep.
Okay,
It is awesome. It is awesome.
If you can find it. Yeah, I can't find it anywhere here. I'm so happy I got it found for me because no store in my neighborhood has it. Or in Toronto.
I actually went to Best Buy on Friday and they didn't have any on the shelf. And I was like, you know, I actually went up to them and said, you have this game. I saw it online. You have it. And they apparently had just gotten a shipment in on Friday. So I got lucky in that respect.
They were probably like, no, we listened to that episode of Indus where they just kind of breezed over this game and the new release list.
So we didn't order any.
I mean, shit.
Because no one's going to care about that.
Retro games.
Because everyone listens to Indus and listens to what they say.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking right. Okay. But this game is highly suggested from me, and you guys will hear more about it from me in coming weeks and on the April month in review when we do that in a couple weeks. So please go buy this game. I really want to see the sequel come out, and they're judging on whether or not the sequel's coming out based on sales of this game. Very well spent $30. Go get it. Go get it.
Cool.
But
you've spent the past 15 minutes talking me into it, so. Yeah,
good.
I'm going to get it.
Good. Awesome.
Sale.
It's sold.
Yep.
But that is it. I was just hoping I really wanted to talk about retro game challenges this episode, and I did that. So,
preach on, brother Chris.
I'm good. I'm going to give the show to Jeff. It's all his now.
All right, I got some news this week. There's some interesting stuff.
Lay it on me.
Still not too busy though.
Sweet.
Let's go. We all heard of the game Final Fantasy. You heard about that game, right, Jason?
What?
Chris? A little bit of Final Fantasy fans, right?
That's kind of like Guardia Quest, right?
It's the it's a Final Fantasy that isn't so final because we're looking forward to 13 sometime in 2013 most likely.
Right.
But the for those that don't know, last week the Advent Children Blu-ray special edition disc came out in Japan, came with the demo of Final Fantasy 13. And normally, it's pretty high. I don't know if you guys watched any of the videos. I haven't yet. I'm probably gonna check them out, but I've been hearing a lot of mixed reviews on the demo. Like, it doesn't. What do you think? Like, apparently, there's no leveling. There's no experience. It's just more action-y.
Oh, I've heard about this. It's more of an action-ish title. You basically you tell it three different commands at a time.
What?
But you don't get any experience points. You don't level up. There's basically no magic points. You get to use your attacks as much as you can.
Yeah. It sounds like a little bit like what's the PSP game? Shit. What was that called?
Oh, Crisis Core?
Why am I retarded? Crisis Core. Like, not in terms of the way the battle's done, but the way that you pretty much have unlimited everything. They're saying that it's probably a grid-based system, kind of like, because Final Fantasy X was similar, where you got all your spells and abilities that way, and so forth, but
At least you leveled up, and you had and shit like that. I mean, this I'm not sure what to think of this. I'm gonna hold off judgment until I actually get to play the demo, because I'm hoping that the Advent Children is gonna come here. So, but we'll see.
Well, it is coming here, but right now there's no official announcement that it's coming. They announced the Advent Children player is gonna come here, but nothing's been said of a
English translated demo.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Wow.
So,
well, Lisa's been asking about it, because we've been checking out the demos. You know, people have been streaming it live and whatnot. And the first time we watched it, all I saw was cutscene for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, okay, fuck this.
That's
and then the next time they were walking down just like, you know, the same corridor over and over again. And the battles looked extremely repetitive. I mean, they look dynamic as far as, you know, all the action is concerned. But when you really pay attention, it's like they're doing the same shit over and over and over again. Yeah. You know, like, you know, the attack sequences when they roll out, it's like, wow, that's really fucking cool looking. But then you got to realize that it's like, you know, they're choosing it from a menu, you know? So it's like, I don't know.
I'm going to hold off now just because I know that, Savory Cade from PS Nation is getting... He's apparently going to get his hands on the demo, Japanese version. And so I'm going to wait until I hear what he has to say about it.
He's not paying $505 for the Ultimate Limited Edition, is he?
No, apparently they have I forgot the guy's name, but they have a friend over in Japan, and he's going to send him a copy.
Martin,
that's it.
Yeah.
So I think Martin's going to send him a copy.
Cool. I wonder if Martin was one of the 10 people in line to get it, because you'd figure Final Fantasy being probably the biggest selling series in Japan next to, like, Dragon Quest, in terms of, like, console RPGs, they were expecting huge people to, like, line up forever and nights, you know, a couple nights just to get their hands on this. But one of the most popular stores apparently only had about 50 people lined up for the Blu-ray for the demo. Another one of the most popular stores in Japan only had 10 people lined up before opening to pick up the Blu-ray plus the Final Fantasy 13 demo.
Well, I mean, it's a two-year-old movie.
It's a demo.
And then you get a demo.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
But you get a demo. But if you remember how packed the streets were for 7 and for 12 and for 10.
Yeah, but were they packed for the demos for the 7 demo. And for 12? Well, I mean, they were probably packed for the demo of 12 because it came with Dragon Quest. But what about 7? I mean, were they packed for what?
7? I can't really remember. But this is Japan, though, and they
Tobal number 1. That was it.
If there was
Tobal number 1 was that came with the Final Fantasy demo.
That came with Final Fantasy. That's right.
Yeah, were the streets packed for that?
They probably were. I bet you, if you look back on that, I guarantee you they likely were.
I don't know,
because I mean, PS1 sold a shit ton in Japan. When it was released, and they're crazy for the Final Fantasy. And 50 people and 10 people, well, of course, that's not total. That's just two of the biggest stores. That would be kind of scary, if you ask me. And that's, then people can basically give a big FU to, well, I want to say FU to Nintendo, but Japan has gone the way of the Wii and the DS these days, man. Like, if there was a Dragon Quest demo for the DS, like a new Dragon Quest demo, I guarantee you that it was packed with, like, Brain Age 4 or something, there'd be ridiculous amounts of people buying that. Like, huge lineups.
Yeah.
I mean, 400 people for the DSi on day one. 60 people for Final Fantasy 13 demo. And they go crazy for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, so, I don't know what's up with that. I'm still not going to judge it over a demo.
I'm not, except for, I'm just saying, Japan is crazy. They line up for everything that they want. And this is just, I'm going to have to look back at the whole Tabal thing. And maybe we don't go crazy for that, crazy for demos and stuff here, but Japan usually goes nuts for anything Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest. And the fact that there's hardly any lineup at these stores is kind of scary, really. And kind of makes sense that maybe Square saw this coming in a way, because that they decided to go multi-platform for this generation and just kind of be like, okay, we need to get it out, especially in North America, because if they really thought that this was going to sell like crap load in Japan, there wouldn't be a need to, because they'd still kind of want to make more money. But maybe they kind of foresaw this, because, I mean, Square games have been selling too much, even in Japan. Like Infinite End Discovery, Last Remnant, and all those games didn't do too well.
Yeah.
Well, they're only out on 360, and there's no 360s in Japan.
Yeah. Right.
True, but yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they've been kind of infamous for that.
Although Tales of Vesperia sold a hell of a lot. Well, considering. It sold all the Square games. Tales, and so did Lost Odyssey. So, I don't know. They might be falling out of love with Square. Maybe they're pissed off for picking up Eidos. That's got to be it.
That's it.
But yeah, anyway, it's kind of new. I found that really surprising. I was like, I figured to see like pictures of like lines upon lines of people, but not so much. Yeah, May, Infamous, it's coming out. In May, it got bumped. It was supposed to be coming out.
That was awesome.
I wasn't even looking for a transition there. I'm like, yeah, basically, that's it. It was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to come out in June, I think, June or July.
Yeah, it got moved up.
It's within the same window of Prototype, and the games do kind of look similar, different themes, but they look very similar. Yeah. Like when you watch, if you went to somebody who didn't know what they were looking at and showed them Infamous and showed them Prototype, they'd be like, okay, is this the same game?
Now, but, are you guys excited for this game?
Infamous, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am extremely excited for this game.
Yeah.
Not only because of what I've seen of it, but especially after seeing the last episode of Co-op, they were talking about, I can't remember who asked it, but someone said, is this going to give me that empty feeling? Is this going to fill that empty feeling that needs to be filled since I played Crackdown? And one of the guys said, yes, this is going to do it. And I was like, fuck, yes.
No, wait, who's damn one right. of those guys, though? Are they marketing?
Exactly.
No. It was all just the guys from Co-op. They were just shooting the shit about the game, and it was all just the guys from Co-op.
And those guys are the guys who loved Crackdown. I remember watching like the one-up show. It was all those guys. And after seeing, I wasn't quite sold on it for one, because every single screenshot I saw was all the nighttime, and it all looked like same lightning attack over and over. When I saw like the recent videos and stuff that you can download on PSN, and I'm sure you can get anywhere on the internet, like YouTube, whatever. It really got me excited where you can climb up, get really high in a skyscraper, stuff like that. The fact that they added in like a gliding kind of technique you can do, I'm just like, that is totally rad. And at the same time, Prototype, the last video I saw of Prototype was really impressive too, and I had no like intentions on being interested in that game at all after the video I saw like maybe 6 months ago, 5 months ago, but they really improved that one too.
I don't know.
So
I think Prototype's
I'm more interested
like
in Infamous right
Creed.
Now. I'm more interested in Infamous right now, so I'm probably gonna grab Infamous day one, and
I'll
grab Prototype later on.
Infamous is awesome, and it's Sucker Punch, and they make quality stuff, and it's
Sucker Punch is fucking awesome.
If they can nail it, that's pretty cool. They got like the two big franchises under their belt, and there you go.
You know who else I love? Capcom.
Who's that?
Capcom is a great company, actually, and we've all been playing Street Fighter 4.
That's right.
And we talked about a game they released not too long ago. Well, I guess it's quite long ago now. The remake of Bionic Commando. And
hell yeah.
The next-gen version, you know, the sequel, so to speak.
Can't wait.
Or retelling. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Got delayed and delayed and delayed. It's finally coming out in May, as we knew. May 16th, I believe, or 19th.
Shit, that's in May 2?
That's in May 2. We have Bionic Commando and Infamous. Two pretty big games.
I'm going to be so broke.
two big games in May. You can try out, actually, Capcom has announced there's going to be a demo for the multiplayer portion of Bionic Commando hitting sometime before release, probably most likely a week before, 2 weeks before. That's usually how demos usually work on Xbox Live. But if you're on PS3, no dice, because they said there is no demo coming out for the PS3.
Oh, fuck that.
Which I don't really get, because...
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know what their issue is. We all know that Capcom and MS are kind of like in bed together since the beginning of this generation. Where, I mean, like Lost Planet 2, right now is still exclusive to 360. Nothing's been made. Everything's kind of been lead platform on there. They've kind of switched. I guess it comes down to the whole money thing, basically. Let's be honest. Like,
or maybe because the network infrastructure kind of sucks on PSN.
I don't know.
Let me just take off my tinfoil hat, I guess.
Hey, can you get me one of those?
You might need one.
So, if you have an Xbox and you're interested in Bionic Commando, or even if you're not, give it a download. It's going to be out early May. It does look pretty hot, and the multiplayer actually does look pretty cool.
Yeah,
so,
it does. And even the single player, I saw some. I saw like one of the boss fights against like this like fully loaded helicopter, and it looked pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it really did.
Really,
you know what else looks really awesome?
As long as the controls, long as the controls work, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but would that helicopter be as fun as fighting like a Hydra, something like that?
Probably not. Probably not.
Probably not, eh? Okay, cool. Because God of War 3 is on the horizon. It's going to be this year. Limited edition. Everyone wants it. Jason, you want it.
Oh, my
Chris,
God.
You want
I can't wait.
I want it.
I can't wait to play mini games with, like, you know, chicks' boobs.
Triangle. Circle. X.
Sony.
Sony half circle forward.
Shut the fuck up. It's my time.
Let him have just
and Jason's
my
goddamn up
trying
show.
To, and Jason's up trying to steal the transition, damn it.
I'm trying to help you, man.
You know what else is cool? Is awesome.
He like gave you an underhand pitch for the infamous one, and you just watched it go by.
I'm trying.
Really? I didn't even notice
that.
Yeah,
he said, well, you know, Japan's kind of infamous for that kind of thing.
Infamous for that kind of thing.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
He put that shit on a
tee. Dude, I dropped the ball.
You just let it go by.
Fuck. Can we rewind time? That would have been money. No. Oh, well.
Anyway, God of War Limited Edition.
Speaking of money, if you pay in more money, you'll be God of War Limited Edition.
Yeah, we don't know the news stories that are coming up at all, really. This is a total surprise for us.
Sony sent out a survey. Oh, they didn't really send out a survey. They put it up on their site. Basically asking if God of War 3 were to have a limited edition, what would you like to have in it? And they have a bunch of things listed, and you can put a priority 1 through 10, like least important, most important.
Can I have a Kratos necklace? That would be so cool. Wait,
no
like
shit,
a
that
Kratos
was on
patch.
There.
Oh my God, that would rule.
Did you guys take the survey?
No.
I did take the survey, yes.
What'd you say,
God of War.
What would
I
you
actually,
want?
No word of a lie, I thought the next thing would actually be pretty cool. Not if it was Kratos necklace, but if it was like the insignia for God of War or something like
that. That's probably
something
what
like
it
really
would
really abstract.
That's
what I think that'd be kind of cool. Where people be like, what the fuck is that?
Would you fucking wear something like that?
Probably not.
Out clubbing, when you're trying to pick up chicks, do you want to bring your God of War or fucking necklace?
Chicks,
I mean, shit.
I don't need to do that anymore, dude.
I know, but
I can just geek it
still,
out as much as
you know,
I want to.
98.7% of the people that play God of War are looking for chicks. Do they need a sort of like
best fucking episode ever?
Let's put it this way: I'm like, if I don't wear the necklace, or if I do or didn't put it underneath my shirt or put it up on the wall, it's not going to get me any more chicks or least amount of chicks compared to if I got a Kratos figurine hanging on my fucking dresser.
I can deal with that.
So what's going to be better, Jason? You go to the bar and you have this God of War necklace on. People are like, "Hey, what symbol is that? That's kind of cool looking." You just make up some bullshit story that you went to fucking
and you
Africa
would fucking tease
and
that
some
motherfucker
tribe
relentlessly afterwards.
No,
see this guy
that's
at the fucking bar.
You'd
be like, "Oh, you're a God of War fan." You'd be talking to your buddies like,
"First of all, if people recognize it as God of War, they're not going to fucking call you out on it. If anything, they'd be like, that's fucking cool." Some chick's like, hey,
dude,
where
if
is
I'm
that
at
from?
A fucking bar
some
and some dude's
story.
Like wearing these fucking, like, you know, Chains of Olympus fucking necklaces and shit, if I see anyone there with like a fucking Timberwolf on their shirt or some shit like that,
okay,
the dude's not cool. Okay. All right, he's socially retarded.
Okay, Jason, I got a scenario for you.
Right.
I agree with you. Don't worry, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. But you go to a bar, let's say you're wearing this necklace, you talk to some girl, she asks you where you got that. You make up some bullshit. We're not talking about other nerds in the area who recognize that. Look at the guy's wearing a God of War necklace. What a homo. What a nerd. Like, no, it's like, we're talking like you're talking to a girl. She's like, what the hell is that? Has no idea what it is. You make up some bullshit story of you got it in some exotic place. That's cool. She ends up coming home with you.
She turns around and says, made in China, made of sterling silver.
No. She comes home and opens up your door and sees a fucking Kratos figurine on your dresser. Which one do you think has the most chance of you getting turned down?
Obviously,
and getting laid?
We're talking hypothetically because there would be no girl that would come up to you in the first place and said, "Wow, that's a really interesting necklace there."
Well, exactly.
That you have.
But you're only saying other dudes, though. You're saying if other dudes know what God of War is,
oh, we would like, ridicule hey, the hell out of them as well.
Oh, fuck yeah!
They're the same kind of guys that wear the oversized, you know, button-up shirts that have dragons all over them. You know?
Oh, God. With the pop collar? That's fucking ridiculous.
Like, wow, this shit looks cool. They don't, really. Anyway, all right.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah,
maybe
so
a patch
Jeffrey,
would
you're gonna
be cooler
buy it. I know
with,
that.
On your jean jacket.
I basically the thing. Says the guy with the Batman tattoo.
I love it. It's a way of life, fucker.
Jeff's getting a Kratos tramp stamp.
Yeah, definitely.
But like a triangle.
Property of Kratos. You know, it's gonna be a yeah, triangle. Triangle, circle, circle, yep. Mash square. Squares
oh,
me. Ah, forget it. I'm not gonna
but,
go there.
Okay, but let's be honest though, Jeff.
I did
You're
be I did I basically I'm gonna buy it. I did fill out the survey. I basically put the most important things for me were the behind the scenes making yeah. of documentary kind of stuff with commentary because I love that kind of shit. That's basically the only thing I put as like top priority. And oh, and really cool packaging. That was like one of the options, like limited edition packaging or something like that. Those are the two things I put like really high.
Yeah, I put actually the soundtrack because I've noticed lately that I'm kind of into video game soundtracks. On
God of War is a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah, it has a really, really good soundtrack. Yeah. I'm gonna buy two of them. So yeah,
nice. Yeah. Nice. I am, yeah, this is, it's definitely going to happen. And to tell you the truth, there's only a few companies that have done this. I think, what's it called? 2K was the first to do it for BioShock. And that's one of the best limited edition that was ever, limited editions that was ever released.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
If they listen, then, yeah, we'll get what we want.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Devil May Cry better, but.
Well, Jason, you might be a little bit upset because the announced version of Devil May Cry that was announced back in 2004 for the PSP, remember that?
No.
It was the same year
no,
that...
I don't.
Really? Yeah. It was around the same time that Gran Turismo PSP was kind of announced.
Wait, yeah, Gran Turismo was announced for PSP?
Yeah, dude. That's how long ago it's been. Like, yeah, I definitely got a Gran Turismo. In fact, I think they actually had like a working demo of it. And never saw the light of day. But
no.
Devil May Cry. PSP officially canceled.
What?
According to the latest issue of Famitsu.
Fuck.
Yep.
I was totally going to get the LE of that. Shit.
Did he say you
I
want
honestly,
the...
I honestly never remembered them announcing this.
Same
yeah,
here.
Well,
same
I don't,
here.
Honestly, I don't really remember them either. But apparently it was announced in 2004. And I was like, wow, really? I definitely remember the GT one, Gran Turismo. That hasn't
yeah,
officially
GT.
Been canceled. But Devil May Cry, I don't, because I'm pretty sure I would have been like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's been
anyway,
canceled.
Shame.
So don't get your hopes up. Would be cool to play on the PSPs, but too bad.
Well, I don't really give a shit.
So. No, you don't really give a shit? Well, that's cool, because Sony apparently gives a shit about numbers and skewing numbers and whatnot, and they came out and said, well... Because, you know, Microsoft was bragging about their attach rate with games and blah, 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 and more third-party games sell more, and blah, blah, blah. With Sony saying, well, their attach rate is actually better per big game basis because percentage-wise, big games sell higher percentage on PS3, whereas Microsoft basically says, well, total sales are better in ours because of blah, blah, blah. Sony tried to compare games like Grand Theft Auto 4, I think Tomb Raider was one of them. But anyway, multi-platform games and... Basically, it's one big number fucking poo-flinging contest between the two companies. And really, like, they shouldn't, like, do... Like, I don't understand why they make this kind of stuff public or why they, you know, announce them to, I guess, the general public when really, yeah, you know what, send that to your publishers or the games, whatever, because they're the only ones who would really take these numbers, digest, and be like, okay, listen, like, either way, our games are selling great on both. Put them out there because gamers ourselves, I don't know. The whole number game, making it public, might be entertaining for a little bit. And I have to admit, I was really into it for a while, but I don't know. What do you guys say? Do you think they're just skewing the numbers, or do you think that they have a point? Do you think that they should even be releasing this kind of stuff? Do you think, you know, I don't know.
Honestly, I'm in that group of people that pretty much thinks,
who gives a shit?
Oh my gosh.
Who cares about numbers?
I'm so glad I got that out. I spent the past 30 seconds laughing my ass off because Jeff in the email says in blue, it says, I don't think many people will see this who gives a shit coming. And I'm totally out of it.
I did too. And I don't
especially
think they would have.
A great lead in by Jason.
I don't think they would really have if Jason was, I don't really give a shit. And then I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
And he spent the next 2 minutes going, I fucking hate Jason. Oh, I fucking hate Jason. Oh, okay.
That was brilliant.
Every company does this, but none of them do it as well as Sony does this generation.
Oh, in terms of like spitting the numbers,
skewing the numbers.
Yeah,
I mean, Sony are fucking masters at it. Because that's
exactly
all they can do.
Well, they have no choice.
Oh, look, we're at the bottom again. Well, if you look at everything we've done, it's actually a little better.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It
whatever.
Just bugs me. Like I think it's funny how they release these and they're like little press releases they release to the general public and whoever. Like really, like. I can understand them wanting like the publishers to know. That's great, but really, like, publishers are only going to look at. They don't care about the attach rate. They just care about total sales. Like, let's be honest.
They care about their game selling. They don't
exactly
give a shit how like oh well you know 70% people of the PS3 owners bought
this,
whereas only 30% of the 360 owners. I don't care. Yeah. I still sold a million more on 360.
Exactly, and either way, you still sold like whatever like a good amount on the PS3, and that's all they should really care about. And
yeah.
I don't know.
That's really all that they care about is the total number. So
it is entertaining. This is the first time it's been like this since like Sega Nintendo era, which
is
awesome. Mm-hmm. Which that was entertaining back in the day. Like Sega does what Nintendo don't, and all that kind of stuff. Which is funny.
Hey,
throwing punches.
Hey, Sony, true dad. Do you really want to get back into this race? Drop the price, fucking morons.
Fuck that.
Jesus.
Bring Bubsby back.
Bubsby, yes.
See some fucking bonk
Bright
games.
Star.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, well, that was your news.
Thank you very much,
thank
Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
And
thank you, Jason,
for the transition.
You're welcome, buddy. You've been kind of struggling sometimes. So
I'm so mad I missed that infamous one. Fuck.
All right, cool,
I'm even
guys,
more pissed off I didn't think about it myself.
Well, let's take a break.
Oh, shit.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll come back and we'll talk about how to make a game have legs, and then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Cool. So
we definitely know
tuned.
How to make this show have legs. What are we at, like an hour or something?
Pretty much. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. It's time to wake up.
Hey, Josh, I think we need to come up with a commercial now that we're officially part of VG Evo. I mean, everybody else has got a commercial, they've got their radio spot, we got nothing.
All right, you know, how about we talk about achievements, yo?
No, that's already been done.
All right, what if we had a catchphrase, like, I don't know, schmazzle wazzle?
Schmazzle what? That's ridiculous.
Well, all right, how about, who gives it?
All right. That one's been done too. I know that one's been done.
All right, fair enough. What about the top 5 reasons we haven't done a commercial yet?
All right. Now you're just being a smartass. No, that's not gonna work.
Oh, wait. I got it. We can get our girlfriends and we can challenge them to game on the 360. How about that?
I think that's been done too, actually.
All right, fine. Why don't we just tell them who we are?
360 Nation.
Oh, that's real original.
Yeah, because the world needs another 360 podcast.
Indeed it does. Ooh.
360 Nation is a proud member of the VGEvo.com podcast network and FuriousGamer.com.
Welcome back.
Shit, thank you.
Nice.
Good timing.
Yeah,
thank you. Wasn't planned at all.
Yeah, liar.
I'm sorry for messing up your transitions, Jeff. Yeah.
No, that's okay. It's okay. I thought it was funny.
It's right. Forgiven.
Still not happening.
I try and help, and I end up fucking everything up. I'm so sorry.
No, the first one was excellent. I just didn't catch on to it.
Totally missed it. I heard it. Jason, I was there with you.
I didn't.
All right, cool.
I heard
cool.
You.
Props, bump the fist, slap the bum,
terrorist fist
go
jab.
Get him, Tiger. Hustle. Box out.
Oh, my goodness.
We've hit that point, ladies and gentlemen. Feature time. <That's
right>. Oh, this podcast is going nowhere fast.
You've summed up the last
what's going everywhere way
episodes.
Too quick.
That's right. Yes. That's right. All right. So today we are talking about how to give a game legs, whether it be being played far after it's been released.
Play for a long time after.
Whether it's just playing it for a long time after it's released, or actually getting people to buy it late in the game. Mm-hmm. So we have a ton of responses for this one. So as usual, I'm going to pass it off to Jason.
Yeah, this is kind of all over the place. Everyone's got their own little explanation as to this legs thing, and Darwinism is not a valid answer. But this first email is from Eddie Kusanagi. He says, "What up, Indus? This is Eddie Kusanagi, also known as son Leon or Dark Isle, yeah, on PlayStation Network. I'm sending an email just in case my voicemail doesn't get played. I swear to God, I do not have a voicemail from him at all. Anyway, let's move on. What does it take for a game to have legs? Advertisement, of course. Now, I'm not just talking about TV commercials, but trailers, gameplay videos, interviews, announcing DLC before the game is released, etc. You'll have to mind my pauses. There's a lot of periods in this email. Before the game is released, let's see, blah, 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 blah.
Did you just blah, blah, blah someone's email?
I did, because I just reread something I'd already said.
You're such a jerk store.
Fuck off. There are the elements that build hype. These procedures must be done at least 4 months before the release date. For example, look at the 2005 Killzone 2 trailer. It got a lot of attention, didn't it?
Sure did.
I know a few people who bought the game just because of that trailer. And of course, TV commercials can be added 2 weeks before release. Thanks for reading. Eddie Kusanagi.
Thank you, Eddie.
Who the fuck bought that game based on the 2005 trailer? Isn't that the tainted one that was like touted as in-game, but wasn't really?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, the normal gamer is not going to know, unless they are keeping up with, you know.
The normal gamer is not going to see that trailer.
Unless they're listening to our podcast.
That's true, too. If they saw the trailer, they probably keep up enough to know that the trailer was fake later on. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Or saw it. Well, the thing is, I think Sony dropped the ball, honestly, on the Killzone marketing, because that trailer got the game, it did hype it up. It got all the people excited. It also put a lot of pressure on Guerrilla and Sony, for that matter. But they dropped the ball because when it came up to time to market the game, they didn't. Like, it was, I didn't see my first commercial for Killzone until the game was out.
Yeah, I saw it like a week before it was released, but even that, you should be advertising it before that.
Yeah, a game like that size, and they reached their goal as far as I'm concerned. They should have pulled out the MS way of whoring out Halo and had billboards everywhere, sides of like skyscrapers and like buildings, like in, I don't know like if there was like that in Atlanta, but there was like a building in Toronto that basically was Master Chief, big Halo 2. If you're driving like downtown, you couldn't miss it. And this is like a good almost a month before the game release, like letting people know. And
all right,
they didn't do that.
They did that with Resistance in like San Francisco or something.
This is kind of bugging me. Is this legs or like strong upper body?
Well, this
see,
is
that's
the
thing. This is not a legs. This isn't really a legs conversation.
No, it is, because it's directly correlated. Because if you can get enough marketing out there and get word of mouth spreading, you might have the people that see it and be like, "Hey, Halo 2, I don't know what that is, but at least they're aware of it."
Well,
then
why the fuck didn't Little Big Planet sell better?
Why didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there was a marketing fucking everywhere for that.
Well, I don't think, to tell you the truth, I don't think that game really...
I'm just saying that I don't think that marketing it has anything to do with legs after the fact.
Don't think so at all?
I don't think so.
Well,
you don't think marketing of like Gears of War 1 had an effect on that it sold like record-breaking sales in its first week because they marketed the shit out of it?
Yeah, but the first week isn't legs. First week is initial sales.
Okay, we'll do initial sales, but it sold. It was in the top 10 or the top 5 of 360 games sold pretty much every month after release till 2 came out. So that's legs. That's like saying, and plus it was also being played online. It was the number, I think, 3 game played online. Besides, it was like Halo 3, I think it was Call of Duty 4, and then Gears of War.
I'm not saying that Call of Duty. I'm not saying that Gears of War didn't have legs. I'm saying that I don't think the marketing that happened before the game was released had anything to do with it.
Right.
Well,
why are we lumping in initial sales with having legs? Because the reason
why is because the more people that buy the game, the more chances there is of people sticking to the game.
Yeah.
Because if you have millions of people buy a game, chances are less people are going to give it up after a month. And why didn't Call of Duty 2? Call of Duty 2 is a great game. Why didn't that it dropped off the face of the planet after it sold its initial, hardly anyone was playing that online. Then 3 kind of ramped up. 4 was freaking huge. But people got the initial, holy shit, this game is big. Everyone's going to want this game. They buy into the hype. I need this game, apparently, because it's the next big thing. Millions of people buy it. Let's just say half those people put it down after a month. You still have 50% of those people sticking to the game. Whereas a game that doesn't have marketing is not going to have those huge amount of sales because the hype's not up there. And say 50% of those people who bought it day one go away and fuck off to the next game, it's less amount of people that are playing that game a month later. So I think marketing definitely has a big impact. The initial marketing for that first week's sales, I think, has a huge correlation with a game having legs.
I think that's the Nintendo school of thought, but whatever.
Yeah, it might be Nintendo school of thought, but look at Mario Kart DS.
Yeah.
Still one of the number one selling DS games.
Now, Nintendo's school of thought is, let's put out anything and people will buy it.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
That's the way they think.
I can't argue with the fact that if you're still promoting a game, that if you're still actually marketing a game, that, yeah, you might get some sales. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not equating that to a game having legs, as it were. I'll play one of those games for maybe a week or two, and then afterwards I'm like, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah, but we're also a little bit of an anomaly too, because we like to play a lot of shit. But we're talking this is strictly on the sales, because it's we can look at legs at sales, and we look at legs in terms of people playing the game.
Yeah.
So in terms of sales, I think marketing is a huge thing, because sure. I mean, Halo 2 as well. Halo 2 was marketed actually more than Halo 3 was. And it, again, a year later, every year after Halo 2 released, every December or November top 10 games sold, Halo 2 was in there. That was, 3 years? Every single year. Because of that initial push of how they did with Halo 2 and everyone knew about it.
I still think it's more of an indirect correlation there. I think the initial push of marketing gets word of mouth going from person to person, and that's what actually causes the game to have legs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So I'm kind of agreeing with you, but I think it's more indirect than what you're leading on.
Okay, well, perfect. Well, then, a perfect example, then, Jason mentioned Little Big Planet. Why doesn't Little Big Planet have as many people playing it as they did? Why is that kind of dropped off? Where that didn't have a big marketing thing, but a lot of people love the game, word of mouth should have spread around to the point where everyone is still buying it and playing it. Whereas Halo 2 or something along those lines had a huge marketing campaign and word of mouth, yet it's always in the top five games sold in holidays and playing online.
That is directly, that's gameplay. Halo it has great multiplayer aspects, it's got a tournament scene built around it. Obviously, we don't have anything like that for Little Big Planet.
Oh, I know, but Chris said that word of mouth should get around, but I say the general word of mouth on Little Big Planet is great.
Okay.
My opinion, outstanding.
That's the thing. It's platformers. Critically acclaimed. Platformers are if a platformer has legs, it's a very large anomaly. In general.
Yeah, sure.
And shooters, on the other hand, shooters have Super everyone Mario plays Brothers. Multiplayer shooters. Yeah. Everybody plays multiplayer shooting.
Well, that's what I was going to say. My main point was a little bit, I think, as well. It's not really the market that North America is really into, the majority anyway.
Right. North America is more into the shooters than they are the platformers in general. So, and I think that's what's really causing the problem with Little Big Planet. I mean, Little Big Planet, it's still selling, but, I mean, it's not selling that quickly at all. I mean, they're at 2.5 million. And I would have expected it, if you would have asked me, last year, I would have expected it to be more than that, much more than that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. So. Well, that's why I kind of wish we had the numbers before, with Killzone, because that would be a good example, because it was kind of a weak marketing campaign, but a great game.
Killzone did not sell as well as anybody thought it was going to. I can tell you that now.
Okay, so do you think that's to do... I don't understand. I don't know where you guys are getting this disconnection, because I think marketing plays a huge factor, because
We're still in that initial sales zone as far as Killzone goes. You know, it's still like the first month or two.
I'm just going for personal shit.
Yeah, no, you're going for your personal opinion. Yeah, that's understandable. Like, I'm this kind of same way now, but it's Resistance. Resistance 1, great game.
Resistance 1 had legs. Resistance 2 is not.
Resistance 2 did not have legs. Resistance 1 had legs for about the first year because it was like one of the better games for PS3.
How did Resistance 1 have legs, though? It was a fairly linear first-person shooter.
And people were playing it online up until Resistance 2 came out.
Okay.
Well, it depends, because once Call of Duty 4 came out on everything, the community quite a lot, actually. It pretty much stole a huge port. We would know. I shouldn't really comment on this, because Warhawk, we haven't played that in a long time. But coming from people who play that all the time, apparently the community from Warhawk, since Killzone 2 came out, and these other games, has dwindled. It's basically now to the hardcore players, so if you go on there now, you're just going to get fucked. Whereas you can still play a game of a Halo or Gears of War, or even I would say even Call of Duty, World of War, Call of Duty 4, go in there at this point in time, play a game and not feel like you're getting manhandled, because there's still a lot of new people playing the game. And those are all hugely marketed games.
Yeah.
That touch, the more people you touch with marketing, the more people you let know your game's coming out and it's the next best thing, more people are going to buy it, and the more people are going to get hooked on that game.
Right. But again, I think it's an indirect thing. I mean, you get that because the marketing is only around for the first month or two that the game is out. And after that, it's word of mouth. And that word of mouth is what actually gives the game legs.
But
the initial marketing push gets more word of mouth going.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, that I think Sony dropped the ball, is because I don't think they didn't market Killzone 2. I don't think they did it early enough. Where I'm saying these other games that got these huge numbers, people playing online, started their marketing way early, like a month beforehand.
Yeah.
That, like, a week or two isn't going to do it. A week or two is going to get you that. Like, it's like movies. Like, you start seeing movie trailers, like, usually a few weeks, like more than a week or two before the movie comes out. They make you aware of it, whether you see it as a preview for a movie you're going to go see a couple months earlier, or a little teaser trailer like months earlier, or the actual ones you see on TV. You're usually a little bit closer to when the movie comes out, but people know about it and they get those big like 1 week sales or whatever. But I know movies and games totally different, because movies don't really have legs.
Right.
But yeah, but I don't know if you see my point. Like, basically, like, if you start it early, more people are going to know. It's going to start the word of mouth earlier,
right?
Which, you know.
So from a company's standpoint, the more money that they're throwing at the game, I guess, with marketing, I guess that could give them legs, I guess. All right.
Yeah.
But from a player's perspective,
yeah. Well.
Does that really help
at all? That's a totally different story.
Yeah. No. Okay.
that's a totally different story. I'm just talking about the whole marketing, in terms of sales aspect.
Okay.
Most part. You have to have the gameplay to go with it.
All right. And speaking of Infamous, I've got another email here. hey, and this Necro here.
Speaking of asshole.
Sorry. Necro here is our resident.
Speaking of asshole. No,
our fitty guy. So, the old having legs discussion again. I know Jeff will enjoy this one, as I'm sure Chris and Jeff both know this topic has been discussed quite a few times over at the GLF forums.
Yeah,
What are you talking about? It's never discussed over at GLF, never.
Anyway, to the question itself, for a game to have legs, in quotes, I basically just think that really depends on the definition of a term, in quotes, itself. Personally, I think that has legs, in quotes, is a game that can keep a constant audience for a sustained time over the initial 2 month launch window for when it releases. Mm-hmm. I mean, take a look at the Metal Gear Online. There is usually never more than probably 3,000 at best online at any time, but there always seems to be a constant flow of players. Then you obviously have to Halos, that has 3,000 in the least popular playlist alone. I mean, that's pretty much it, I think. It's just having an audience for a long period of time. And this is important to developers, because obviously that plays into DLC marketing, and that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, that's pretty much my take. Oh, and a few nades. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to cut right there. He's got a two. Okay. He's got a two. Got a two-parter. Email.
Okay.
Direct comment is, I think he's. I want to say hit the nail on the head, but I mean, the gameplay that we were talking about earlier, that's a direct correlation with a game having legs. Like Metal Gear Online basically has nobody playing it right now. And people have to realize, because I've had conversations with people before, I'll be like, well, Wipeout HD. I love Wipeout HD. And I think that is, I think it was one of the better games that came out for PS3 last year. And when it first came out, people were playing it like mad. That included people on my friends list, people from like forums I go to, whatever. After the next game came out, no one was playing it anymore. I haven't seen anyone playing that online in the longest time ever. And I'll get in a conversation with somebody and they'll be like, oh, well, I would still go back to that game, just because I haven't had time. Like, well, that's the whole point. The point is the game hasn't grabbed you enough to pull you in to be like, listen, I'm going to make time for this game because I want to play it. Saying, yes, I personally like the game, but I'm going to go back to it eventually, isn't saying the game has legs. That's totally different. So you might like Metal Gear Online. That's cool. But is it keeping you, is the game, I'm trying to define legs here for people who might not know, is it making you, like Street Fighter for us, like for Jason and I, like constantly going back to it, this is months out, this is like a record, seriously, like, we have ADD when it comes to games, like all three of us. And that's the fact we're playing this game, it came out in like, you know, mid-February, and it's now almost the end of April, and we're still going at it hardcore. That is like having legs, personally.
But, I agree.
But that has nothing to do with marketing. And it
has nothing to do with marketing whatsoever. Although, yeah, well.
Here's one of my thoughts on why Metal Gear Online isn't being played as much.
Because it sucks.
I don't know if it sucks or not. I never played it, but I think more than anything, it's way too complicated for what it is.
Oh yeah,
That's one of the things you need: simple, thoughtless gameplay. That's why Halo is so popular, because you could be brainless and go in and play it.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's not. You can't be brainless and play it, because it's just like any other first person shooter is the same way. The fact is,
right.
Yeah, I've said this like a couple times before, but Halo was the first to put, I guess, the best kind of PC controls on a controller and make the game, they basically slowed down a first-person shooter, put it on a console, said, okay, this is playable, go, the first one that did it. That's why it's so popular. Like, you can let's just say Killzone came out before Halo and did the same thing. That would probably be the number one first-person shooter. Like, I really think it's a whole timing thing of what happened. But, oh, fuck, where was I going to say? I totally went on. Fuck, I can't remember. Lost my train of thought. Someone else talk. It'll come back to me.
So the marketing on this game is what? Really... Yeah, I don't know.
See, I don't want you to misunderstand what I said. You can be brainless and go in and play a game like Halo or a first-person shooter. You have to be really... You have to know what you're doing to be good at it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I could go in and play a first-person shooter and know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't think like an easily accessible game necessarily constitutes like a game that has legs, you know, because you could be one of those brainless guys that gets attracted to the next shiny thing that comes out. You know?
Right. I'm not saying that it being simple is what constitutes the fact that it has legs.
I'm agreeing.
But I'm saying that Metal Gear Online doesn't have legs because it's too complicated.
But at on the same note, that there are some people that are really, really drawn to that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's in the minority, though. Yeah, that's what we have to define.
I just wanted to put that out there. So.
Yeah, legs has to be like the majority of people. Yeah. Like, I mean, like I said, you can go on any game on pretty much anywhere online. You're going to find people to play it. You can still go back to friggin', what was it? I want to say Siphon Filter, but not Siphon Filter. Splinter Cell, Pandora Tomorrow. There's still people playing that online for the original Xbox. But it's not a lot. So technically, yeah, you can say the game has legs because there's maybe 1,000 people still playing it. But really, in the general scheme of things, it doesn't, because the majority of people, it's not, let's put it this way, it's not keeping up or holding up the user base to have a company invest more money into it. So that's, I think, a huge thing, which like DLC kind of helps with. And Metal Gear Online, I agree with Chris, like it basically was too complicated. Like they basically took the Metal Gear Solid 4 controls, stuck it on an online shooter, and said, go. When really, if they wanted to get like the casual audience and like the huge market, they should have said, hey, it's first person, just put regular first-person controls on here and go, and then play it. I think it would have held on to a little bit more people. But yeah, it's the fact that you have to hold down one of the face buttons to aim is ridiculous. And that's just like, I don't know, I want to hold down the left trigger. I want it to be like Call of Duty. Because that's what they're familiar with.
Well, right. You said duty, but you also said DLC. That kind of brings us into our next email. Who's this from? I have no idea. Spoofy? No idea.
Are you just making that up?
No, I'm not kidding.
No.
They say, how does a game have legs? Easy. It's all about the DLC. A good example would be Burnout Paradise. It's been released like a year ago, and it's still hot. Another would have to be The Community. Also in a Little Big Planet, and Street Fighter. P.S. Damn you, Balrog, or M. Bison in Japan. Fuck Balrog.
Nice.
I hate you, Balrog. I love you, Balrog.
DLC has to be handled correctly, though.
Yes.
And Burnout Paradise is a perfect example.
Yes.
That is the poster boy of DLC.
This is the poster boy of a game with legs. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
I just bought it, what, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? And the only reason I did is because all the crazy DLC they came out with that was free. And I was like, I can get this whole package for $20 and download it directly to my hard drive and play it whenever without putting in a disc. And a lot of people, I think, are feeling the same way. I think, I'm pretty sure that is still the number one downloaded game on PlayStation.
Isn't that
3.
A gorgeous thing? Seriously.
It is.
I kind of like the whole, you know, like digital thing and... Yeah, they keep supporting it. Like if it's like a small investment, you know, for like a huge game. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
anyway. It is. And well, the thing is, they've been charging for their last few. But really, people are complaining about that. Guys, you got like what, 4 free packs?
Yeah, seriously.
Totally awesome
what the hell
shit.
Do you want?
And it's not like the stuff's expensive, so they got to get some money. But that it was brilliant. They gave a bunch of free shit.
Yep.
Said here you go. It made it available for download at least on PS3. Mm-hmm. That keeps people interested. If you're a game. That isn't one of the ones that, because I honestly think in this generation, like of gamers, we do have the either crazy ADD or we like to stick with what's familiar. Like it could be like people will play Halo, a new first person shooter will come out, they'll play that first person shooter, they'll play do the campaign, play some online for a bit, they're like, okay, cool, I'm going back to Halo. Like look at Warcraft, World of Warcraft has like the biggest user base ever of a MMO. A new MMO comes out, it steals some people from World of Warcraft for about a month or two. Then people are like, okay, cool, I'm done with this, I'm going back to World of Warcraft.
Right.
Because they're familiar with it, and because they keep adding to it. Like, that's what these games keep, these developers keep adding stuff to the game, and it's got a bit, the spacing of it. Like, once people get sick of the maps, or the set list, or whatever, the playlist, whatever, they upgrade it. That's what you have to do. And you can't have stuff come out way too fast, because then people are going to call bullshit, like with Resident Evil 5 or stuff. Like, it's already on the disc, that's crap. It's going to become this kind of bullshit. It's not going to happen. And if they wait too long, the window's gone. Like, which I think is Call of Duty's biggest flaw, is why they can't trump Halo for being the number one first shooter played online, is because they release one map pack, maybe two, they're too far spread, and they just drop it. Because they know another game's coming the next year. And that's probably more Activision's fault than the developers of the game, per se. But that's why Criterion just stuck with it. Like, they haven't released anything since Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
They haven't announced anything since Burnout Paradise. They come out and said, we're going to support this. We're going to have new downloadable content coming out consistently. They keep lowering the price of the game, making it available to in many different forms and ways you can download it. It's now on PC, too, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, you can, I'm pretty sure it's on Steam. So, I mean, like, you can get it so many different ways. People are going to keep buying it. Like, why would I trade this in? Why would I stop playing this game? Like, oh, I'm sick of this shit. Boom. Here's some new stuff you can try out.
Right.
And it's going to keep people hooked.
Yeah. I would agree.
I heard jingle bells.
Yeah, that's... Sorry, I let... Santa? She's wandering around the main room here because I think she's getting sick of being in the bedroom. So if you hear me scream, that's probably because she's attacking in the back of my head because my headset's there. And, I might cry.
Nice. Well, I definitely think DLC is something that had to be brought up during this conversation. And
absolutely.
And there's no better game to talk about than Burnout Paradise because of the fact that they have supported it so much. I mean, just look at the bike pack alone. You know, I mean, the fact that was
added
a free...
so much to the game, yeah.
Yeah, it was a free download. It added so much to the game, and they've been constantly updating it, giving it facelifts. I mean, the presentation has changed, like, twice now, you know? And mm-hmm. you know, I just think that they're doing a fabulous job, and I think other developers need to wise up and take a look at what Criterion's doing follow
for sure.
suit.
Yeah. Like one of the first games that did this, I guess, was Oblivion, and I think their problem was they oversaturated the DLC market too soon. Not even the horse armor. They had the horse armor. They had like new missions.
Oh, I still gotta buy that. That's right.
They had a bunch of stuff for Fallout. Are you talking about the horse armor?
Horse armor.
Oh, did you hear about that April Fool's joke that they did?
No.
This is kind of a sidebar, but it's kind of funny. On April Fool's, Bethesda took half price off any DLC for Oblivion. It was like the expansion, everything. But for Horse Armor, they actually doubled the price.
That's beautiful.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
But anyway, yeah, but they kind of oversaturated it with Oblivion, where they had too much too soon and too little. And I think that's, you gotta hit that sweet spot where people are getting sick. Like, I mean, Grand Theft Auto 4, when Lost in the Dam came out, not only was that pretty decent time, you were getting almost an entire game.
Yeah.
Again.
That's true.
That you can download. Which, I don't know if that was, like, I don't know the exact numbers or anything like that on that, but I mean, it's a good, I think they're finally catching on to kind of, because these days, if you're not a familiar game, like GTA is a bad example, because that's one of the biggest franchises ever, but the other games that are just coming in, like, hey, we're the new shiny new thing, like, we'll say Killzone 2, for example. If they don't come out with something soon that's going to change something or give players something new to do, they might lose some of their user base back to the Call of Duty series on PS3. So we'll see what happens.
You know, we've talked about shit like this before as far as the DLC is concerned, and it's really, really comforting to find out that companies are kind of getting this. You know, like, some companies are doing the right thing. Like, they're putting out more content or, like, more features to the game as opposed to, you know, buying 10 potions for, like, 500 space bucks or something like that, which is ridiculous. That's exactly what we do not want. So, but yeah, I mean, you mentioned it before, Criterion's like the poster child for, like, you know, DLC and shit. And that's definitely something that's given Burnout Paradise legs, without a doubt. Man.
How long has that been out for now?
Last January.
Was it last January? Really? So it's well over a year then.
Yeah, well over a year now.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's still selling
stuff.
Really,
people
are really
still
well.
Buying it like crazy.
I don't know about you guys, but I rarely ever see used copies of Burnout Paradise anywhere.
I haven't really looked, but
I've seen them. Yeah, they're out there.
Have you?
But,
I haven't seen too many. Even like, so. I mean, well, subjectively speaking, like, I've seen like a few, but it doesn't even compare to like a lot of the big, like, Prince of Persia's out there, or, like, the Mirror's Edges, and even Fallout's, like, even though that has been pretty good with DLC so far, I've seen way more used copies of those than Burnout Paradise in the last year. And it got me to buy the game over a year after it came out.
It got you to try and organize, like, an indie-produced, like, Burnout night. Yeah.
Just one night. It won't be like Warhawk. I'm telling people that now. It'll be one night.
Just one night. All right.
Yep. So we don't get hit. We don't get any flack for it.
You guys never show up to Burnout Night anymore.
What do you mean anymore? It was just one night.
Exactly. Heard it here. One night.
All right. Let's move on to another email here. This one's kind of all over the place. It's from Pobe, though. So
Pobe.
Let's all exhibit a little patience. Anyway, hello, Una Goff Bishi. Lol. It's my new word. I imagine that's all three of us.
No, golf, bitch, you know.
To me, I'm not a rich gamer at all. I'm not poor, but I'm frugal on games. The only games I buy are the ones that have legs. I don't normally go to a store and look for something to buy. Mostly I go because I have something to buy. I look for games with legs. There are specific things I look for games for them to have long replayability. Number one. The most important factor for legs, multiplayers, online and off. Playing by yourself is the same experience over and over. Playing with others, it's always different. Number two on his list, story. In order for a game to have legs, a story must be good enough to be playable after the first playthrough. These games, like Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy, and Fallout, are games that I know I'll play definitely more than once. I simply love a good storyline like Metal Gear Solid, so I can play through it many times without getting sick of it. Games like Fallout or Mass Effect are different each playthrough, so that definitely adds legs, in quotes, to the game. You guys can feel free to jump in at any point.
I want to chime in on this part.
Okay.
I think that story is important, but only for situations where the story will change.
Yeah.
Like what he said, Fallout or Mass Effect. Those are games where if I'm playing a second time through, which I played both of those games twice through.
Right.
Both times, I actually paid attention to the story and, you know, and made sure that I knew what was going on, made different decisions to see what direction it would go. Yeah. Metal Gear Solid, I played that game three times through. The first time I played it through, I watched the story. Second time, third time, just went through it. I just didn't care. Because I already knew what was going on. You know, the story doesn't change.
What made you go through them then? So having legs, what made you go through the game two more times?
The gameplay was just way too much fun. I enjoyed the gameplay.
But no, weren't you trying to do certain things each time you played through?
Yeah, that's true. It was just different ways of playing it. But again, that's more along the gameplay. Like the second time through, I don't think I did anything different the second time through, now that I think about it. I think I just wanted to play it again. Mm-hmm. The third time I started going through it, I was trying to do the no alerts, no kills thing.
Yeah.
And I got to like chapter 3, and I was that's as far as I got. But again, it was one of those things where the story didn't really get me to. I wasn't paying attention to it. The story is not the reason I went through it.
So would the trophies have anything to do with that?
There's no trophies in Metal Gear Solid.
That is right. Moving on.
But
dun dun dun.
But here we can go to that now because he does mention Mass Effect. What the fuck was that?
Anyway, Jeff.
Shit.
Actually, finish up the email and I'll come back to it.
All right. Totally lost my place. So let's see. Third is the variety of the gameplay and how linear it is. Again, games like Fallout, Mass Effect are great with so much variety. Games have to have variety on how you play them to have legs. Right. By variety, I'm not just thinking of a story, but weapons or different ways you can accomplish something. That's my three main points for a game to have legs. Look at Street Fighter 4, for example, a game that we all agree have big legs. It have a great multiplayers, and the complex system of timing and fighting just add variety to the game. Well, that's it, Guy. Those 3 points are my... I think that's supposed to be answer. To what does it take for a game, have legs? Sorry for the long email, bye.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, we kind of touched on his third point because he's talking about like different variety of how to do things. So, and we kind of mentioned that with Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. I want to touch on this because I don't know if anybody sent in an email about this, but it is something that I wanted to touch on. Achievements and trophies. Achievements and trophies for many people will make a game have legs.
Definitely.
For someone like me, though. I don't care about the trophies or achievements unless, number one, the gameplay is there in the first place, like Fallout. Fallout, I wanted to achievement whore that game because the game was so fucking good.
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe you really like the anime Avatar. You know?
That's I mean, right.
Or Ninja Turtles. Sorry.
go ahead. Or King Kong. Right.
For a game like Mass Effect, on the other hand, Mass Effect had when you unlocked an achievement, it wasn't just unlocking an achievement for the EP-ness score. When you unlocked an achievement in Mass Effect, it actually did something for you in the game. So, like, when you got to level 50, the next time you played through, you got, like, a 10% bonus in experience. When you killed however many it was, like 150 people with the assault rifle, the next time you made a character, no matter what character you made, you could use the assault rifle. You could choose that perk. So it those achievements actually added something to the game. So again,
even if they don't, though, like personal opinions aside, I think achievements and trophies overall add a lot more legs to games.
Without a doubt.
They didn't. Yeah.
I totally agree with you, without a doubt. But I'm saying that for those people where those points or those trophies don't really matter, making those achievements actually do something in game. Will make it more likely for them to actually cause the game to have legs.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, definitely. And Poe brought up multiplayer, which to me is probably the biggest thing.
No doubt. No doubt.
Rarely ever play single player games through twice. I hardly ever do. I always say I'm going to. Besides the God of War series, I really can't think of the last game, single player game I've played through more than once.
What about Uncharted? I play that like every weekend.
Yeah.
Liar.
Really? Yeah, that game had legs. Beat it, toss it aside. Not that I didn't think it wasn't good.
Really?
But that's literally the way I felt about it. Like, even when I tried it, I'm like, I'm going to play through this again because they added in the trophy patch. I'm like, yeah, I can get some trophies. I think my first trophy ever was actually in Uncharted. And I was like, okay, I got one. And I feel like playing something else. I still love the game, but it doesn't add anything new. Like, it's a totally linear story. That's fine. Multiplayer is important, but it can't be any multiplayer. A multiplayer now is a dime a dozen. And Poe brought up Street Fighter, and I'm... God, here comes Street Fighter.
We've been itching to get into this, I guess.
Yeah, we did kind of mention it beforehand. But one of the biggest reasons, I think, that Street Fighter has had legs for myself personally is that, one, it reminds me of back when I was playing Street Fighter 2. Two, the whole scrub sport thing that the Goo and ourselves are doing, it's an incentive to play the game and to improve at it and just to kind of practice and play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sent that kind of started a chain reaction, like a domino effect, is a lot of people that I don't think would have stuck to the game are right now going hardcore. Like, they want to learn. Mm-hmm. Like, spoiler alert, like, he wasn't a big Street Fighter fan, whatever, and now he's playing the game like almost nightly. He's practicing.
Shit.
Like, I'm practicing.
Look at Scott.
Like, yeah, Scott.
Oh, Scott is totally the best example.
Thank you. Scott is
one of the best people on Scrubsport now. And I'll tell you what, when we were in Chicago and we were playing HD, he couldn't beat me to save his life.
Street Fighter, whatever. I haven't really played too many the fighting games. You know, I don't really care for them, whatever. Yeah. But when Street Fighter 4 came out, Scott just fucking dove.
Well, even before that, like, he.
But why then?
He won the game.
Why did he do that?
Well, I think, he won the game from PS Nation, and I remember the first night he had it, he had a...
he would have bought it anyway.
Whack-a-Sow or something like that? Yeah, he would have, for sure. But he had basically you could play him, like, that night, whatever, and basically beat the crap out of him, because he was no good, he just started. But now, he's one of the best players in the league, and it gets the competitive nature. One, the matches are quick. They're not long. Like, you sit there, you play a match of Street Fighter, you're looking at what? 3 minutes, probably about 5 minutes max, or something like that. Not even for like one match that goes like the distance.
Sure.
And it's addicting. You play one match, like, yeah, let's do another one. And the fact that there's a community of people that want to enter this league for fun or not, and it's getting people to play the game. It's getting people to step up and be like, you know what? I want to play this. I want to get better. I want to, like, you know, I want to have fun with this game. At the same time, though, I don't want to look like a schmo and just go in there and sit there and stand there while I get my ass beaten. And I think that is a huge thing, because any online multiplayer is competitive. But a good thing about, I think, what we did with Scrubsport is it's not having people jump into Killzone 2 or Halo 3 against people that have been playing the games forever. It's a bunch of people that are relatively new to the game or aren't new to the game, in it to have a good time. And basically, it just kind of gets that competitive juices flowing that is hard to get in other games that people get overwhelmed with.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
I think,
what's the real thing that's keeping Street Fighter 4 in the mix here?
Community.
What is the real thing that's doing it?
Community.
Yeah.
Multiplayer.
100%. Community.
Well, yeah, multiplayer. Yeah. If it wasn't online.
If this game wasn't online, I would not have bought it.
I wouldn't have played it more than, I don't know, I'd probably beat the game with a few characters, and unless I had people over, I probably wouldn't play it.
Right. Right.
It has nothing to do with the unlockables. People are like, oh, well, replay value means legs. Yes, replay value does mean legs, but fighting games before online meant replay value was, well, if you play this mode this many times, you'll open up this. You'll open up more costumes. Well, yeah, but that's just not fun.
Right.
That's something we all kind of bitched about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an annoyance. Right.
Yes, annoyance, and none of us want to do that in Street Fighter, but it's got decent online, good community, great community, people are booing about it, and that's keeping people playing. Like, it came out in mid-February, and I gotta say, it is, in terms of any game I've ever played on PlayStation 3, it has had the longest longevity out of any game that I've seen people play on my friends list. So it's been like 3 months, and people are playing it every single night. I don't have to worry. Like, I don't have to jump on Wipeout HD and be like, hey, I want to play Wipeout HD. Let's see if anyone's playing it. Because I know no one isn't. No, there's not a damn person playing it. And the only two games right now I can guarantee people have been playing right now on PSN are
Killzone 2
and Street Fighter 4.
Right.
Yeah.
And even that's kind of tapered off a little bit too, because I remember some of the people that are in the league Killzone's right now, they were heavy into the Killzone 2, but now they're coming back to Street Fighter, and I think a lot of that's due to community, due to the league that we're.
It's due to the fact they don't want to get their asses handed to them by most of the people on this fucking league.
Agreed, but it's still comforting and kind of reassuring.
Yeah.
See their names.
All right. We need to get moving. So let's go to another email. That's
right. Agreed. I'm actually out of emails.
Really? Yeah. Okay, cool.
So should we wrap up? Right. Oh, wait. What the hell is this?
I don't know.
It's a voicemail. Do you think, should I play it?
Sure. We should.
Cool.
Why not?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I keep trying.
You can hit that play button.
Hey, what up? Second call. This is Jigsaw Jr. once again, and just like to say shout outs for that last call that you guys made. Good luck on that. What does it take for a game to
have legs? I called his mom the other week.
Question. All right. What does it take? Well, first of all, nowadays people are all wow about graphics, so you need good graphics.
OMG.
Obviously. Second of all, you can use any old story, but make it interesting, Interesting story. BioShock, I think, wow, people. That story is amazing, personally. Halo story, I don't like Halo much, but a lot of people think that story, that world, the universe, the Halo universe, is, nice and alive and all that. So I would say good graphics. Personally, I mean, graphics, they're pretty and all, but I'm not a graphics type of guy. I do like the shiny things, but that's not all it takes. So, but in this day and age, I would say graphics, a decent story, of course. One of the most important things, if a game has to sell, you need an amazing marketing campaign. That's another big thing, I would say. I guess that's pretty much all. Just compare how Sony and how Microsoft do their marketing. I mean, Sony stepped it up recently, but last year their marketing was whack, It was nowhere to be seen.
Much better now.
Pretty much graphics, a decent story. Amazing marketing, that's what I mean, amazing marketing, not just regular marketing. And, what else? A lot of people were ticked off about controls, the way a game controls. A lot of people didn't buy Resident Evil 5 because you can't run and shoot. Okay. Well, I personally don't think that's much of an issue. I mean, I beat the game already. But that's another thing, make the controls customizable. It's been in the PC for years. I don't know why they can't bring it over to console games. Controls. That's something, another big thing that ticks people off. And, pretty much another thing now would be multiplayer, co-op. Those two things, people were like, oh man, I'm not buying this, multiplayer sucks, no co-op, okay. Some games are meant to be first person people, just one person playing it. Single player experience, but everybody has their own taste, so. Sum it all up, graphics, decent story, controls, and amazing marketing. Thanks for playing me on, if you guys do, and if not, it's still all good. This is Jigsaw Jr. Peace.
Out. Outside. Thank you, buddy.
West Side, what?
There, Jigsaw.
I'm pretty sure he's from California. I could be wrong, though.
That would be sick.
Did he cover anything that we didn't? We kind of covered story already.
You know what? He did cover something that we didn't really. Did we touch on co-op?
Well, co-op, multiplayer. I think they go together.
Really?
kind of sort of.
The one thing he didn't that we didn't touch on is like controls of a game, and you know, I think when it comes down to it, if a game controls like shit, it's just not fun to play, and it's not going to have likes. Yeah, period. I think that's pretty standard, pretty obvious.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of fun, that's something we didn't really touch on, and luckily we have one more email that I neglected to see, but I'm bringing it out now because he brings it. A good point.
Okay.
Hola, Indis. Francois Marquis here.
What is Francois? I'm totally calling him Francois from now on.
I'm disappointed that it's not a voicemail, but anyway.
He's been trying to send in voicemails. Skype's been acting up. More on that later.
Yep.
What does it take for a video game to have legs? You need Warhawk in the title. Duh. Okay, he's partially kidding. But for me, it's all about the quality of the gameplay. If a game is fun, I'll play it and keep playing it. Final Fight, Street Fighter 2 / 3, Dynasty Warriors, Phantasy Star Online / Universe. Attaboy. Warhawk. These games are all fun. If your game isn't fun, it doesn't matter how many damned annoying cinematics you cram into your game, what movie stars you have doing the voice work, what Hollywood composer you have composing the music, or whatever. If the damn thing isn't fun, I'm not going to waste my time with it. Personally, I have some very abstract criteria for game enjoyment. For example, seconds until playing a game. How long does it take after I press start to get into the game and start doing my thing? Anything that gets in the way of me playing the game, like cinematics, tutorials, especially if your game is another FPS or familiar genre, which really doesn't require a tutorial, etc., reduces my potential for enjoying it. Signed, the Marquis, Francois.
Well, first of all, I'm going to call bullshit.
What?
It's a bit of a contradiction. Only
how
because
so?
If you ask him any time on the show box VG Evo, his biggest complaints on Street Fighter 4, it's all based on its aesthetics, not on gameplay. And then until he finally push on, he's like, well, that plays like whatever.
Okay, Street Fighter 4, like, notwithstanding, I know that he's full of shit with Street Fighter 4. I know he doesn't like the aesthetics and whatever, and he rarely comments on the gameplay. But
no, he's totally right in his email. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He's contradicting himself.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying, the Marquis. That's right. I'm calling your shit out. he mentioned controls too, didn't he?
Jigsaw
mentioned controls.
Yes, did you listen to the email at all?
I did, actually. Okay. A little bit. Okay. Then it was Marquis, so I know I was going to be like, bullshit.
No, he's right on point with the shit.
No, he's totally right. I know he is. Fucking
give him credit.
Guy. I don't want to admit it. I'm giving him credit.
I want to punch him too, but give him credit. And then I want to hug him right afterwards or whatever.
Exactly. Go for a beer, chug the beer with him, punch him in the gut.
Sing some fucking Iron Maiden karaoke.
Well, you know, we do have that picture of Repeat. You know, knocking him in the face. That's good.
That was the best birthday present I've ever received.
Thank you, Repeat.
I haven't seen that picture yet, actually. I need to see that.
Repeat did exactly what I told him I wanted to do to Marquis.
I
want to punch him in the face and then hug him afterwards. And then Repeat took pictures of him punching and then hugging Marquis.
That's awesome.
That's perfect.
That's
awesome.
Amazing.
Anyway.
All right, so where are we going with this? What do we got?
Game's got to be fucking fun. Marquis brings up Warhawk. That game has some fucking legs. Why is that?
It doesn't have legs.
What? People are
think
still
Warhawk has legs.
Fuck you. Okay, just because you haven't been into Warhawk Wednesday in the
Dude,
past like
he's
six
the one
months?
He's the one who told me that once Killzone 2 came out and the games, there's been nobody on Warhawk except for the super hardcore people playing the game.
But
yeah,
it
but
has
even
been,
you said
oh,
earlier
that's any
that
game.
Even you said earlier that when the new thing, when new shiny game comes out, people run to it and then they come back.
But have they come
games.
Back yet? Do we know they, that?
How long has Warhawk Wednesday been going on? For real.
How long since when?
Come on.
Sorry?
Real talk here. How long have people been playing this game?
Oh, well, then again, it depends on numbers, though, like we talked about. There's always going to be people playing a game.
Regardless, the game has fucking legs and why.
Yeah, I got to agree, man.
What?
Warhawk has legs.
Oh my god!
People
Kate,
have been playing this fucking game for months.
But who's
religiously.
People on VG Evo and whoever? Remember we this whole rewind about 20 minutes ago when we said whether it's 3,000 people playing a game or a huge amount of people playing a game having legs. It's all like subjective how many people are playing because we said every single game is going to have people playing online,
well,
no matter what. It's how many people.
I would imagine if the game was not doing very well, then they'd kind of stop putting out expansion packs for it.
When is the last expansion pack out?
It's been a little while, yeah, granted. But you know, for a very long time, they were keeping very up to date with expansion packs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
And this is definitely more. Quit fucking being contrary. Okay, and just agree. Yes, you are. You're playing devil's advocate, and you're being an ass. Okay, you cannot disagree with the fact that this fucking game is extremely popular, fun to play, and it's got fucking legs.
I will disagree with that. It's extremely popular. Totally 100% disagree with that. I'll say that it has legs for the hardcore people that play Warhawk. But since Call of Duty 4 came out, the amount of people playing it have probably dropped down significantly, and then added more to that.
And there's still probably more than the people playing, like, you know, Metal Gear Online or something like that.
Probably, most likely.
Yeah,
I'd say so. For sure.
There's still a following. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, but like I said, there's a following.
But like I said, you're a fucktard. Okay.
Seeing as none of us can really say whether or not it does, because none of us have been on the game in forever. I'm just taking this from Marquee himself, who plays it every single day,
or at least every Wednesday, more than Marquee.
And said that since like these games have come out, there's hardly anyone playing the game besides a super hardcore that he feels when he goes into any other game, he's got to have his game he's got to be on his A game every single night. Because all the casual people aren't playing it anymore. So does that mean a game has legs? Or is that the same as when I mentioned that Pandora Tomorrow saws people playing it, the hardcore people playing it on original Xbox, the game came out like years ago. Is that the game really having legs because people are still playing it? Or is that to be a big majority of people still playing it that has legs?
Listen, for real. Okay, if I can play the game for more than 2 weeks at a fucking time, the game has legs. Okay?
But is that yourself personally, though?
No, I think that's a pretty broad generalization. You know, if the game is shit and it's not fun, you are not going to come back to it, no matter how many fucking people playing it. But
yeah,
Warhack has stood the test of time. It's been a long time since the game has been released. There's been a lot of community behind it. It's an extremely fun and accessible game to play. And just because the new kid on the block, Killzone 2, comes along and steals some of those players, does not mean that the game doesn't have legs, right? I mean,
but it doesn't mean it does either, because we don't know if they're going to go back yet.
Oh, fucking A.
But Jason, do we know they're going to go back? Like I said,
it does not have to have legs for the fucking console's lifetime. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't.
For sure.
I'm not still playing Super Mario Brothers. I'm not still playing Duck Hunt. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's been around a long fucking time.
It's been 2 years.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The fact that so many people still enjoy the game, in my opinion, shows that it's got legs.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, we're totally digressing now because we all agreed on the fact before where it goes how many numbers people play. Because we said
every game
is going to have a following, no matter what. There's going to be the niche people that would be like, I'm sticking to this game, this is my game. Like you can say Metal Gear Online has legs. Even if there's only 3,000 people playing it, that's still 3,000 people playing the game. So are you going to say that has legs as well?
I will. I never disagreed.
So, in that situation, then every game has legs, because every game is
going to have for fuck's sake. Quit being contrary. Come on.
Dude!
Every game with online multiplayer has legs. Period.
Well, but based on your definitions, if people are still playing the game, that has legs, right?
Well, okay, if we want to break it down to...
every single game has legs.
If we want to break down to, like, criteria, which I think is what we were trying to establish with this feature, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's take personal shit out of it. We would like to see a strong community behind it. We'd like to see multiplayer. We'd like to see DLC. Correct. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm kind of wrapping up here. But
yeah.
All right. So let's not get into specific numbers of how many people are playing. Granted, certain titles are going to have more people interested in it than others. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But are you waiting to chime in here? What's the deal?
A little bit.
Okay. Do you just want to go and get it over with? Or
I'm just saying, if you're going to judge legs on people playing the game to this day when it was released years ago, every single game on the face of this planet has legs.
Oh, please. How many fucking games in your backlog? How many games on your shelf do you still play?
We're not talking personally. You just said wipe out personally. You just said take out personal opinion out of the equation. I can guarantee you, if I go on Mirror's Edge, even though I haven't touched that game in months, and go on the time trials, there's going to be people that are still uploading their best times to the time trials of Mirror's Edge, even though I don't play it.
And that's a feature that would give a game legs.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of people. But you said take personal aside. If you're going to say that any game that people are still playing now to this day, when a game released a lot of every single game,
you're just arguing
has
to argue.
Legs then.
We're on the same page.
No,
Jeff.
Dude.
We're on the same page. We're good.
All right. But then,
I'm just having fun sitting back and listening to you two, man. This is awesome.
I can guarantee you Hayes has legs because I guarantee you went on Hayes
that,
right now.
Oh, dude. You're fired, man.
go Red Hayes. Go online. I guarantee you'll find a game.
A game. Does that probably mean, one.
Doesn't matter because based on your guys' definition of having legs, if people are still playing, it has legs. So
no,
go Red
shit.
Hayes.
Okay. The last time that I looked at a Warhawk server, there were like at least 100 games.
That was like in 2001.
Yeah, it was in 2001. You're absolutely right. It was the year after. It was like 2 years after the Dreamcast came out. You're absolutely right.
I'm being sarcastic.
I know you're being sarcastic, jerk store.
But literally, when was a dick to be a dick?
When was the last time any one of us has been on Warhawk?
I tell you what. Why don't we wait and see
before
someone,
Call of Duty 4 and before
Wednesday
Killzone 2?
Email and tell us how many games there are going on when they play their Warhawk. Because we don't play it right now, and that's fine. Because we haven't been on in a while. But I want to hear from one of the people that are on Warhawk Wednesday. PJF.
Which was...
Philip J. Fry.
Okay.
I want to know how many games are
Chris,
on Warhawk when you set up.
Back up about 10 minutes ago when I said I heard this from the Marquee himself, who was probably the number one Warhawk fan on entire VG Evo, who said that since Killzone 2 came out... And
the numbers
whatever,
have dwindled a little
that
bit.
The numbers have
so
dwindled
what?
So much where it's only the hardcore people. So
let's back up to what you
said. Games are bound to die at some fucking point.
Let's back up to what you said, Jeff, when you said when a new MMO comes out,
yes,
the numbers on WoW dwindle a bit.
When did Killzone come out?
They
end
WoW
of,
releases
end of
another
February.
Expansion.
Chris.
And everyone comes back to it.
I said after about 2 months, when did Killzone come out? Came out at the end of February. If the Killzone 2 numbers drop at the end of April and they all go back to Warhawk, I will agree. If they don't, then I'm sticking by it that if Warhawk does not pick back up where all these people left to play Killzone 2 or
then the game
World
never
War,
had any legs whatsoever
never,
at
I
all.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
You're getting
I said
to that.
That
you're painting yourself into that corner.
No, you guys aren't listening.
All right, but okay, look. The point that I think both Jason and I are trying to make is whether or not if people were just to stop playing Warhawk altogether and never play the fucking game again, all right, no more games, no more servers. They took all the servers down. The game still had fucking legs for the last however long it's been out.
Oh, for sure. But yet you disagree when I said if you go on Haze right now and there's going to be people playing online, you said that doesn't have legs. So how does that work?
How many fucking people bought Haze?
Who knows? Why don't you go online and check it out? Cause
okay.
apparently, as long as people are still playing it, the game has legs.
It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you could go on and you could find your choice of like X number of games to jump into.
You know?
I mean, there was never a. I mean, there's always a surplus of people playing Warhawk. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh yeah, you can always find a game. There's no doubt about that for sure.
You and Marquee are fucking made for one another. That's all I gotta say.
All right, let's finish wrapping up here.
I'm done.
So we've determined that online multiplayer is a huge, 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 huge benefit in making a game have legs.
Correct.
What else we got?
DLC, I think it's number one.
Yeah. I agree. That is number one. So DLC, that's a big one too.
Possibly, if done right.
Mm-hmm. How about multiple branching story?
Yeah.
Fallout 3 has multiple branching story, but a lot of it, I don't know. I went through it once, and I kind of got the main storyline. But something like Mass Effect, if done right, I'd go back to it.
Okay. And what else did we bring up?
Controls.
Fun. Yeah. Well, the fun factor is definitely there. I also brought up the whole achievement thing.
Because you are
that as well.
An achievement whore. Classic
achievement.
One,
that's right.
But still
that's right.
A whore.
I love having sex with my achievements. Mm-hmm. Sorry. All right. I think that's the gist of it. I mean, the biggest one we agree is online multiplayer for this generation especially.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean,
way more than last generation.
Yeah, just about every game out there that we would say has legs would have some sort of online multiplayer.
I did.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Only this gen though, because I mean, GoldenEye had legs on 64. That didn't have online. That is that crazy, right. Ridiculous, awesome multiplayer.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many games that have the online multiplayer that I mean, people just aren't playing that. You know, there's just better games out there. So I don't think that's the main factor. It might be a prerequisite of sorts, but I don't know. I think there's bigger things at work here. Like a fun factor. Come on, and community.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
I think, yeah, fun factor and community are like the two big things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said any game could have multiplayer, but it's got to be fun. It's got to have a community. It's got to have whatever.
Right.
Yes, Warhawk, blah, 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 has all those. But whatever. And we made it interesting.
People have been saying that there's not enough conflict on Indus anymore. So there you go.
There you go. And you know what? If I got to be that guy to take all the brunt of it, I will be that guy.
But don't be that guy just to fucking be that guy, because that's fucking annoying.
Why not? It's fun.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Would it be
fun.
More fun if we all said, yeah, totally.
No, because this is just fucking annoying. I mean, there's a fine line between, you know, like having an adult conversation, you know, with two opposing viewpoints. You're just adopting a viewpoint just to be fucking contrary and just to be that guy.
But they're all valid points.
I don't think so.
That's because really you don't agree with it, though. That's by nature. If you don't agree with something, you're going to think it's not a valid point.
No, it's only because I'm right.
Hey, can we...
There you go.
Can we stop seeing this dead horse? I'm pretty sure it died.
But the
like
horse needs to be beaten.
Horse has been very bad.
I was trying to look for someone to pick on Chris with.
Well, you got new releases coming up. You know, you got to always use that.
They don't have legs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, should we move on to new releases then?
Oh, we should.
Let's do it.
Yeah, please.
Is there a new Warhawk expansion coming out? Just wondering.
Yeah, it's called Starhawk, apparently.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You didn't put that in the news.
Yeah. No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, way to go, news guy. Yeah, way to stay on top of that.
We'll see how that does compared to Warhawk.
All right, cool. So next week, coming out for the Wii, is Excitebox.
That actually looks
box?
Pretty fun.
I don't think...
you said to say box, but
box.
As much as box makes me excited...
No, Excitebots. Cool. Trick racing with wheel. Oh, so it comes with a wheel.
With wheel.
Interesting. That's it for the Wii. There's actually only like one game coming out for each system. And here's the pick of the week for the DS. I love horses.
I know silence. You do. did you find those movies that your dad had?
Mom would have been a little bit more appropriate, but or inappropriate.
Oh, I was
wow.
Quoting
okay.
Movie, but...
For the 360, anyway. Dynasty Warriors Gundam 2.
Yeah.
For the PS3, Dynasty Warriors Gundam 2.
Gundam.
And for the PS2, Dynasty Warriors Gundam 2.
Marquee will be all over that.
And that is it.
I'm not
that,
even lying.
There's nothing coming out for PSP, so that's your new release list. I'm going to say Excitebox for the pick of the week.
I am that dude. That game looks fun. Man.
It does, dude. I actually saw it on. I saw it on co-op the other day, and it looked pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, looks all right. Looks like way better than Excite Truck was. So.
Yeah, it does. It looks much more interesting.
Is it all over already? What?
That was it. That was your new release.
Yeah, that's
Fat
ridiculous.
Princess.
When is that actually?
But that's not actually out.
I know. Try and get the demo in, somehow.
Did you guys send in a picture with you guys eating cake?
That's what we should do. That we should all get a picture of us eating cake and stick it up on the website.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
I had a picture. I've got it ready. It's like, but then it's like you have to have some kind of like PS3 paraphernalia or something in the picture as well. I'm like, well, this picture I don't have that. So
is Zaku just trying to get nude pics of you again?
Nice.
Because I have PS3 tattooed on my hands.
He has a PS3 tramp stamp.
Right. Yeah.
And it actually says PlayStation 3.
Yeah, it'll probably fit.
That's it's right point. Next to the one that says Kratos is bitch.
Mm.
Yeah, that's my asshole. Oh,
okay.
Well, yes. I'm sorry.
Like the one true O-ring. Okay. Oh, that was bad. Yeah, that was nasty.
All right, Jason.
What?
Any more emails?
We haven't really started with the emails yet, so...
I know, that's why I'm asking if there's any more as opposed to like, week emails.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we actually do have some regular emails. I didn't give my pick of the week, though. Wait, I did.
All right, get your pick of the week.
No, I said Fat
I love
Princess,
horses,
and it was over.
You have a choice between three.
If you
games,
say Warhawk, I'm gonna fucking e-slap you across the computer.
I was thinking about picking up, I don't know, like Burnout. What do you think?
Burnout? Yeah.
Paradise. I mean, why not? Sure. You know. Anyway, emails. The first one's from Pope. Oh shit, this was actually a question of the week one. Hello Indus, I love you. I love the Indus Angels too. Lol, there's been lots of loves going around lately and the forums for some reason, I don't know why. Anyway, the question of the week got me thinking, would you buy games like Killzone or Street Fighter 4 if it didn't have any sort of multiplayer at all? Well, thanks guys, bye.
Yes for both.
Yes for Killzone.
No for Killzone, yes for Street Fighter.
To tell you the truth, I bought Killzone based on the single player. So
yeah, I did too.
I bought it because I was hoping it would be like the next to Halos, and I wanted to play with people.
Hey, did you guys play? Cool. Did you play it online yet, Jason?
No.
Mm-mm. No, you I haven't. Never I've been it. Too busy playing Street Fighter.
Yeah, so. Same here,
dude. Actually, to tell you the truth, I haven't played Killzone 2 in a long time. So.
Gotcha.
It's still good. It's still good.
I would probably Trust still me. Buy. I probably still would have bought Street Fighter 4 if it didn't have multiplayer. But I would have bought Killzone over Street Fighter 4 if there were no multiplayer in either of them.
And that's why
I would have done the exact opposite.
That's why we're not really close, Chris. All right, next email. This one's from who knows. So Necro here again. And yes, everyone is going to hate me for giving you another reason to talk about Street Fighter, but
yes.
And this is probably mostly aimed at Jason. Oh boy. Anyways, I want to get good with the Giefer. He seems like a pretty fun character to play as. So, two quick questions. Number one, my main issue seems to be closing the gap on people with Gief. Any general Gief tips to get me started?
Yeah.
Number two.
I played as Gief.
Have any of you completed Gief's fifth hard trial? God, I want my shiny icons, but cannot get the damn timing down on the last combo, which is like the flying knee drop, crouch, low kick, or light kick times four, and then the EX free hand. Anyway, go Giefer. So I guess this is my show again, because I kind of mained Giefer for a while. So number one, as far as getting in on someone, I mean, you have to play a very, very aggressive game with Gief. You don't really want to be passive aggressive, but when you're jumping in the air, there's two main attacks that you want to do, and that's the regular fierce punch, which will actually kind of stuff a lot of anti-air, just normals, in addition to his medium kick, which comes out extremely quick. And, you know, especially against the scrubs that are, they're trying to uppercut you, because he jumps so low to the ground, that medium kick comes out really quick. You'll actually catch them trying to do their uppercut motion. So, that's one tip. When you're on the ground, is, holding down towards and roundhouse kick will get you a lot of distance as well. Aside from that, you know, make sure that you're focus attacking fireballs, jumping only when you absolutely need to, and
watch out for roundhouses
against Ryu. Yeah.
With Ryu and Ken, yeah.
Unless you use your just regular fierce punch to stuff their roundhouse. Just saying.
There you go.
Their roundhouse is really slow, so they use a medium kick too.
You wouldn't recommend doing the fireball snuff hand thing?
The fireball snuff hand thing?
To move in, yeah.
Possibly.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Possibly. That's totally another option too. So you can gain ground. I try not to use the regular hand too much because it's extremely punishable. And if you do the hand to gain ground, use an EX one, I think.
Don't spam Lariat.
You can, because some people are really stupid. Absolutely.
Well, okay, yeah.
Anyway, question number two, Gief's the fifth hard trial. That's actually one of the easier ones, I guess. So just remember that you can actually buffer the motion in between the light kicks. So like you said, it was like a flying knee drop, crouching light kick times four. So like on the third one, you start doing your motion, right? And then you end up like holding down back, hitting the last low kick, and then hitting forward again for the EX green hand. And you should get it, hopefully. Fingers crossed. It's a timing thing. Patience, tolerance.
Check out YouTube for videos.
Well,
and a little bit of advice, Necro, I'd stick to Cammy, dude. You're getting good with her.
Gief's a fucking beast.
Besides, we know that you love her ass, so.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so go Gief her. Let's move on. That was cool. Really boring, I guess. I'm sorry, guys.
More Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Check in to Street Fighter. Check in Scrub Sport official podcast.
Which we should have moved that email to the week. Scrub Sport podcast.
Scrubsport.com.
Yes. We actually should have, but that's okay.
Anyway, who the hell's this guy? Andrew Thomas? Never heard of him.
Jack Bauer.
Are you kidding me? That's the... I knew it was him. Come on, play along. I know how much Jeff loved season 6 of 24. Without trying to turn you into a 24 podcast, would that be so bad? I was wondering what your thoughts are on the latest season. Love, Jack Bauer. 24. Jeff?
Watched the first, the first episode, the 2-hour special, whatever. Really liked it. Haven't watched an episode since because I have a thing. I don't like to watch series while they're on TV. I like to get them after they come out on DVD.
Me too.
So you're waiting until you can watch everything at once.
Exactly. I hate being left in suspense. I loved the first episode, or the first two, I guess, if you want to call it that. We'll see. But like I said, 6 started off really strong too, and then took a big dumper and shit the bed all over the place. So
wow.
We'll see.
Jason, have you watched it at all?
I watched that first episode, season 1. Yeah, that's about it.
Season 1.
Well, I've been keeping up, and I really, really, really am enjoying season 7 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's far better than season 6, in my opinion. So
cool. I don't think
Jeff, after you season... start after you start watching it, I'll be interested to hear what you say.
I don't think that show has legs at all.
Yeah, it's only been around for 7 years, and it's got like 2 more seasons.
Fuck that. Who cares?
A lot of people watching it. Not 3,000.
Well, if just a lot of people, if people just watching it meant that the show had legs, then
people on BG Evil played all the time, so it must have legs. my asshole.
Douchebags. Okay. Let's keep going.
This next one's from our buddy Spoiler Alert. He says, after spending the last 6 months on VG Evo, I've come to regret being a consumer instead of a collector. I now want to find my inner enthusiast and rebuy older consoles and games, and also stop trading in my games. Attaboy.
Yeah.
My wife, my wife and I are in the house buying process, and I will be in the market for creating my very own man cave of gaming awesomeness. But where do I start? Help me, guys, and please don't judge me for hating video games all these years by trading in games to GameStop. Cheers, Travis.
Nice. How do the same thing.
Where does he start? Like an import? Like an old game shop or something like that?
It's hard to... the thing is that he has to find... something. Okay, this is my opinion. You need to find something that you really enjoyed, like in the back in the day, a game that you really enjoyed back in the day. Find out what system it's on, and get that. If there's like one game that you have great memories of, find that system, get that system. Find out what other games are on it that are worth getting, and start there.
Totally.
And go to MGC.
Yeah, really. I would. MGC probably would have been a great way. I mean, you probably would have walked home with a Saturn, knowing from what I'm hearing about what Mark was doing. He was walking around saying "Sega" to everybody. My personal choice would probably be jumping on the Genesis because it's cheap it's easy to get games with games for, and there's a lot of good quality shit on there. And then you can always go back to systems like the Dreamcast and the Saturn and things like that. The ones that I probably would, things you need to stay away from are things like the Jaguar.
What?
There's like one game. You fucking buy Tempest 2000. Yay.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
I heard someone bought a Jaguar at MGC. Does that mean Jaguar has legs?
Fuck you both. Holy shit.
That's really fucking lame, Jeff. Jesus.
I'll tell you what system does have legs. TurboGrafx, bitches.
Let's keep moving. My computer's running out of space here.
Yeah. I just say also make sure that what you want to buy is something you'll actually, if you're going to spend a decent amount of money on, make sure you're actually going to play it and not play it for about 10 minutes and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember this game. Yeah, it's not as great as I thought it was. Or system isn't doing what I thought it was going to, what it did for me like 6 years ago.
Right.
Because then you're going to regret it.
And that's one of the other things that, I mean, don't I say to go find a game that you remember from your past that you really enjoyed, I should really mention that you should check out what other games are on that system before you buy it too.
Yeah.
Because Saturn has a shit ton of good stuff. Oh, yeah. If you look in the import market. If you look in the U.S., you're not going to find jack shit for that machine.
Oh, you will, but the good stuff's going to be like $200.
Exactly, so. Exactly.
True so. That. All right, so we get one last final email.
Lots of emails this week, guys.
Yes,
way
bravo.
To go.
Tons. Thank you, guys. Anyway,
Love it.
Hey, Andis, I'm new to VG Evo. I'm partially new to your
Welcome.
Show, so sorry if you have already discussed this before, but here it is. The question I ask is easy to understand if you read my answer. Okay. Should a review for a game be right after or before it's released? Is a two-part answer. No, some games get released with something broken. For example, Killzone 2 was replaced with bad multiplayer controls, and a few weeks later they came out with a patch, and most of the people were happy, but when someone reads the IGN review that says the control for multiplayer aren't good, I consider that a form of false advertising. Kind of. Not saying that it's a person from IGN or G4, etc.'s fault, but the review of the game is just outdated, and may cause the game not to sell as well. But the patch for the game fixes the areas that were reviewed harshly. Sorry if my example, Killzone 2, isn't the best, but that's the first thought that came to my head considering I've never played the new SOCOM, which I heard so many times that it was broken, but now it's fixed.
Right.
I guess it puts pressure on game devs to make the final retail copy the best it can be, knowing that it's only going to be reviewed once without the patches that so many games have. And remember, pressure makes diamonds. Thanks, and keep up the great work. This one's from Colin Gilmore. He didn't have a screen name or anything. But.
It's okay. We What's almost up, Colin? Didn't have to answer that because, yeah, welcome. And he pretty much answered his own question the best way by saying, pressure on developers to release a good product the first time.
Yeah, I agree.
Really, yeah. PC games have been putting up with this for years. Like, a lot of PC games get patched, patched, and patched. Killzone's thing, I don't think, wasn't even a control issue. It's just that it was different and people weren't used to it. Because right. If you got used to it, it was fine. If you look at, like, Lair, for example, people bitch about the controls for that. They finally patched it, what, months down the road? It's still
like a year down the road.
Yeah, it was like a long time.
Yeah, and SOCOM is probably the best example.
Game at all. Yeah, SOCOM was just released way too early.
Yeah.
People, you know, if you're going to release a game, people are going to review it, whether you release it, like, early to the press or not. If you're not... if you don't think you have this shit together by the time it releases and you don't delay it, tough shit. If you're releasing that to the public when people are reading it, and you know they're not going to buy it at that time.
Here's my thing. It's the SOCOM. There was one outlet that actually re-reviewed SOCOM after the patch came.
I think it was GameSpot.
It was 1UP actually.
Was it 1UP?
Okay. Yeah, 1UP re-reviewed SOCOM after the patch was out. And here's my issue with that. I think that's good in a sense because it gives people a better idea of what the game is now, but it also is giving developers an out, you know, and I don't think that they should have that. If they should, I mean, test your shit beforehand, you know, you need to know that it's broken beforehand. That's what QA is for. I mean, what was going on in the last few generations? You know, it wasn't, we've never had these problems in the last few generations of consoles. It's just this one. All of a sudden, it's okay to, and we've actually talked about this, all of a sudden it's okay to release a game that has a bunch of fucking bugs in it.
Online, you know? Ready systems.
Test your shit. Mm-hmm. You know, that pressure is good. That pressure is good for the developers. It is good for the consumers because it's not going to assure you to get a quality product every time, but you're more likely to get a quality product every time if that pressure's on them. Because if it's not, and every outlet starts re-reviewing games after patches comes out, then they're just not going to give a shit anymore. They're just going to say, oh, let's just push it out. Let's make the release date and we can put out a patch later. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys get in the Fat Princess beta? <That's> so awesome.
Fuck you.
Excuse me. Did you actually get into it, Jason?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll say, cool. I'll say yes.
I did too.
A good fuck you to you too.
Oh, okay. Oh, did they not have USA Today in Canada? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Do they have Canada Today? Was it in that one?
No, there's no such thing as Canada.
Canada Today?
We're not that pretentious.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Well, at least we got Fat Princess.
Better igloos than snow?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
I'll wait till it comes out. By the time that comes out, you guys will be playing it, so.
Or we'll still be playing it because it has legs.
We can do Fat Princess.
They may be short and stubby
short,
legs.
Short, fat legs. Yeah, exactly. I still love you guys.
All right, cool. Should we let's hit up question of the week and get out of here.
I'm gonna kill you. Oh my god, we have one?
Well, oh yeah, that's right. We do this every week.
Holy shit, 73 episodes. You'd think we'd be used to what we're doing by now. All right, question of the week this week is, what similarities does the video game industry have with the music industry?
Oh, that's right.
Well,
yeah, we talked about this earlier this week. I brought it up. So.
It was an amplified conversation.
That's right, it was.
With gamers.
All right, so a lot of things in the video game industry seem to be going the way the music industry went. So what do you guys think? You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail like Jigsaw did. That number is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can also leave us a message on Skype. That's Interactive Distractions, all one word.
Oh, lowercase.
Yeah. Google Talk, which watch, we might start using Google Talk a lot more.
Fuck
so,
you, Skype.
Yeah, it's fucking Skype. That address is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, please tell a few friends about us.
Please.
And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review.
Please.
We are also on Twitter under Indis Podcast, and we are on Facebook as Interactive Distractions.
We also have our individual names.
That's right.
On the Twitters.
I'm Indis Chris.
I'm Indis Jason. And
Jeff's not. He's gone.
Do we?
Oh, fuck. There it is.
Fucking mute button.
Mute button, yes. Fucking mute button. I'm in this.
Oh, this mute that was button. Awesome. That's right. Twitter, change your name to in this mute button.
/help.
Oh, fuck. All right. Guys, this has been a long show, man.
What?
We need to get out of here.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. You guys have anything else to say before we wrap up?
I love you, Jeff.
I love you too, Jason.
Sweet.
I love you both.
You got legs, man.
And one of them has Batman on it.
You got you got some nice hind legs.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Does that mean I'm taken?
I'm behind, yeah.
Oh.
Hey, yo.
What?
Oh, shit. All right, cool. Well, that is our show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. Talk to you next week.
Squeal like a pig, boy.
Oh,